about.
Morning, Bosley. Good morning, angels.
Morning, Charlie.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! Oh, Victor Fuentes! Victor Fuentes! Victor Fuentes! 16-12-1. Hello, hello. I'm 19, homeboy, and I ain't no chick. It's Victor Fuentes. Out from the window, it's Victor Fuentes behind the trees. I really must admit that this song has too much information and shit. And it's Victor Fuentes out from the window pane.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry. Oh.
Haven't you got anything better to do than harass the elderly?
And now.
It's unfair, unnecessary, and wrong.
Our feature presentation.
I made an occasional mistake, if that's what you're saying.
You were confused that day.
Yeah. That day.
Just that day. It's fine.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Monday morning. What's happening?
We're going to take your telephone calls for the Kevin and Bean Monday edition of What It Do Nephew. Coming up here in just a moment, you can get on the air and give us a call about any topic.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yes, Lisa?
We had an earthquake yesterday.
Right.
Call my mom, find out if she felt it. Sister-in-law answers the phone. Whole family's over at my mom's. Had no idea anything was going on over there.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So it had nothing to do with the earthquake.
Happy Easter to me.
They were having a family Easter party, and they said, let's not invite Lisa.
Let's not tell Lisa
about that.
Yeah. My mom calls back like 5 minutes later because, you know, I hadn't talked to her, and she's like, I'm sorry, I thought you were, weren't you gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I never said anything about being gone
That's
anywhere.
Awesome. You're getting fired from your family.
Yes, I am.
Wow. Do they do like we do when you're on vacation and they get somebody else to fill in for you? Did they have the new fake
Apparently, Lisa sit
at the dinner table?
Pretty tragic.
By the way, thank you for bringing up the earthquake, because I had almost forgotten how unbelievably, for folks who didn't hear listening around the country, there was a very sizable earthquake, over a 7, in Baja, California, near Mexicali, Mexico. And it was fairly widely spread up through Southern California and into Arizona. But virtually no damage anywhere in America. It was a Mexican earthquake, right?
Right.
The news coverage yesterday, the nonstop, all-the-time news coverage on the Los Angeles channels, trying to turn it into a catastrophe in Los Angeles, interviewing people about, you know, a little bit of shaking, was hilarious and ridiculous.
They're consistent with it. Every time something like this happens, they pull out that package of we're all going to die, and they just start doing it.
Listen to this. Here's a little bit of KABC Channel 7 Los Angeles yesterday talking about how little earthquake there was, but talking about it for several minutes.
We're going to go now to Melissa McBride, who's live in Pacific Palisades with what's been going on there and reaction from residents there. Melissa.
Okay, first of all, nothing's been going on there. Second of all, what possible reaction can residents of Pacific Palisades have except, I heard there was an earthquake in Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well have been talking to people in Bangor, Maine, for that matter, right? They got nothing to say about it. And what kind of reaction do you want about an earthquake?
At least Bangor has a funny name. You know, she's got that.
What can people possibly say about an earthquake?
It shook.
It felt like a rolling motion.
Yeah. Well, let's see how devastating it was in Pacific Palisades.
John, we pulled over and we stopped here at a gas station. There's also a grocery store over here and a Taco Bell drive-thru. And we tried talking to 25 different people, and 21 of them did not feel the earthquake.
Okay. Isn't that the indication right there that you're not on a story? That dog will not hunt.
What were the numbers? 25 people?
Yeah, 21 out of 25 didn't feel it at all.
Right. Didn't feel it at all. Okay. Yet they're going to continue with the story, right? Because it's obviously significant.
Some of them had no idea that one had even occurred in Mexico earlier today. Now, there were 4 people that we talked to, and they did feel it, and 3 of them shared their observations with us.
Wow.
Do we need the 3 people to tell us, I felt an earthquake?
No.
It's clearly a non-story.
Wouldn't you think that this reporter would call back and go, look, I know I was supposed to be here for the story, but I just talked to 21 out of 25 people. They don't even know about it.
Right.
So you're going to have to go to someone else. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, they never do that.
There's nothing here. You're going to have to go ahead and fill somehow some other way.
Yeah,
I'm not going to. We don't have time now. We'll get to it later, maybe. But this story goes on for 3 minutes. This reporter of Pacific Palisades, who's, by the way, standing in front of a parking lot, she couldn't be in the studio, but she's standing in front of a parking lot and interviewing people about a little tiny bit of earthquake they felt from one that was epicentered hundreds of miles away.
Felt or didn't feel.
Right.
Or didn't feel. Exactly. I don't get it.
I don't either, but I love it. I really do.
I had a really strange experience with the earthquake in that I was here at the station on the air.
Right.
Didn't feel a thing.
Right.
My parents are on vacation in a different part of the state, and it felt like the apocalypse.
Right.
So they call back here, and they're like, is everything okay? Is the house still standing? And I go, what's wrong? What are you talking about, Mom? Are you out of your mind? And it's like, the earthquake. It was unbelievable. I've never felt anything so powerful. I was like, what earthquake? Are you out of your mind? What earthquake? What are you talking about? Because I literally didn't even know there was
Where
one.
Where were they? What part of the state were they in?
Near Palm Springs. Hmm. Which is no farther south,
far
really.
From here.
But
yeah.
I guess in that part, like more inland, they thought this was the big one. They thought that everything
we were in the ocean,
that it had all toppled to the ground, and that they needed to call and find out just the true extent of the damage.
Right. And you're the guy they went to?
Yeah.
There were some other home. By the way, we're going to get right to your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you want to weigh in on any topic on Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew coming up next. There was some home video, and I love when they do this. They put some home video on the TV of a family, for instance, that had recorded the earthquake while it happened, grabbed their video camera. And you can hear the dad on the tape saying, the epicenter's not here. Might be L.A. L.A. could be gone by now.
Yeah. I like that kind of panic. Everyone could be dead.
A lot of people would be happy with that.
Or not.
If L.A. fell off the thing.
Not just L.A. Listen, Bean wants that to happen to everyone.
That's true.
Hey, Mike's parents would have oceanfront property in that Palm Springs address.
That's true. That is true. That'd be nice. We could all go over and visit. All right, let's start with your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, it's an annual event that hundreds of thousands of people go to see, and you get tickets for the celebrity race on Saturday, April 17th, I want to say, for the 36th annual Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. Great celebrities, including our own friend Adam Carolla, by the way. He's going to be driving this year. So we'll be talking to him as we get closer to that. Jesse McCartney is going to be there. Anthony Anderson, Adrian Brody, Brian Austin Green, Patrick Warburton. The list goes on and on and on. You can get all the details at their website. But that's your prize for being on the air with Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew.
My fingers crossed for Jesse McCartney. Come on, Jesse.
I know, right?
You can do it. All right, let's begin with Jensen. Hi, Jensen.
How did it do, nephew?
Hey, Judson, just give me 1 second. I think we would have changed this a long time ago if any of us could say it convincingly. But we all blow at it. I mean, it sounds terrible.
And our listeners aren't any better.
Well, they're worse. So it makes it great. We'll keep it forever now. All right. Sorry, Judson. Go ahead.
No worries. So the baseball season started yesterday, and I was just seeing call and see what Bean thought about Seattle Mariners stacking up on baseball players in the offseason.
Well, I am cautiously optimistic, as all baseball fans are for their team at the beginning of every season. The Mariners certainly look much improved with some of the offseason trades. But, later on today, we're going to talk to former sports guy Money, who I have lost 7 consecutive years wagering on whether the Mariners would do better than their division rivals, the Angels. So I'm hoping to get a little bit back this year. We'll see how it goes, but fingers crossed. They play tonight against Oakland, first game of the year. So we haven't lost any games yet. We're doing better than the Yankees.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I'm an Angel fan, so but the Seattle Mariners predicted to win the West. Good luck, and I'm willing to throw a bet whenever you're ready.
There you go.
All right. I don't know if I can afford to lose any more bets like I lose the money every year, but thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. By the way, Kevin, first game was last night, Red Sox Yankees. Phenomenal game. This is the year. I think you need to realize that you're missing out on. It was a great. It was a 9-7 game with the lead changes all over the place. Fantastic plays offensively and defensively. And then Neil Diamond comes out and sings "Sweet Caroline" the seventh inning. Come on,
take my life. If you could promise me that there would be 16 goals, runs a game, I'm in. I mean, I would be excited then, but that doesn't happen really. All right, let's go to. What did you say, Bean? Line 4.
Krupali?
Krupali.
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 All right, that's not on the phone screener, though. That's on you. That's a ridiculous name.
Hey, what are you talking about?
What are we talking about? Your name is ridiculous.
You have had this name your whole life. You know it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like crew team. Cal Poly, crew poly, man.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, now. No, your parents are bad. They should be put to death. What can we do for you?
What's going on?
Okay, so you were talking about the earthquake, how it wasn't a big story. I've lived in California my entire life. Yesterday, I was in Newport Beach, and I was cooking over the stove, and I felt completely nauseous. I didn't know what was going on. And it lasted for about 30 seconds, and everybody in all the houses around the Newport Beach area came out because everybody felt it. It was the longest one.
Nauseous?
Me and my cousins, we were all nauseous because we were preparing Easter dinner, and we were just standing there. We were like, wait, what's going on? I feel really sick to my stomach.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're looking down and you don't realize what's going on.
Right, but the cars in the backyard, everything was rolling back and forth. Like, their minivan was swaying back and forth a few inches.
Look, I'm not saying that nobody in the earthquake area felt it. I'm just telling you, it really wasn't a story for California. There was nothing. Nobody got hurt. There wasn't any damage.
Yeah, there's
damage.
No damage.
Right, but when you don't know anything, like when we were outside, we were freaking out that, hey, something was in play, you know, because electricity went out. We didn't know where it was.
Sure, I understand. Well, I'm glad you survived. It's a miracle that you hung on. You're like those miners in China underground for 9 days. It's incredible that you're still alive.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. Thank you, Rupali.
He's such an ass.
All right, let's do one more. Steven saw America's number one movie over the weekend. He's on line 5 calling with a review. Hey, Steven, welcome to the show. What'd it do?
Well, what'd it do, nephew?
Nice. You did that well.
What's going on?
Hey, guys, I saw this movie. I had great expectations. I was there early in line.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what movie? Clash of the Titans you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes, it was really, really bad.
I've heard some terrible reviews.
Bad. Really?
Yeah, they said 2D, 3D, it doesn't matter.
Oh.
They just put anything together and threw it out there. It was horrible. Really bad.
That's too bad. Didn't it make a boatload of money?
Over $60 million?
Just to write out the 3D, the Sam Worthington buzz, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, let's put something together, package it, eat it, America. It was ridiculous.
I know, and America
you know
does.
What? America can eat it. He's right. I agree.
Oh, Ralph, no good. Ralph's movie be terrible.
That seems old.
Well, he hadn't seen it.
That's right. He doesn't see anything.
Right.
Yeah,
he had great affection for the 80s version, too, so I think he was hoping that it would be upgraded and be good. And you're saying no? I'm sure there are other people out there who enjoyed it, though.
Nope.com. Way better.
I think he's right. No one has seen it. Terrible things about it.
Wow. That's crazy. And it happens so often with a movie just like this.
Yep.
If it's eye candy that looks great, most of the time it sucks. That's a
shame. I know. And makes a lot of money.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
I'm sorry I can't hear hippies.
I don't think I would qualify.
Nope. Not really.
No way.
We got to talk about Miss Cleo's driving. She's in more trouble.
Yeah, we need an intervention on her.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I've never met anyone that gets more tickets than she does, ever. Mm-mm. We also have Matt Money Smith on the program today talking about NCAA championship basketball tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is there one person in the millions that filled out NCAA brackets who had Duke and Butler?
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine either, right?
I can't, but who knows? I mean, we'll see. Butler is one of the two final schools, Lisa, and that's awesome, but I can't imagine anyone saw that coming.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you are rooting for Duke tonight, then you are a bad person, right?
Well, unless you're from Duke.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Otherwise, you've got to go for the underdog.
Yeah. Right, exactly, because otherwise you look at Butler and you go, wow, what are the chances they ever made it? And then now they made it to the final, you know, eight,
how
now
cool
the final
would it be
four
if they won?
Championship.
Yeah.
It'd be very cool.
It's Hoosiers all over again, and they're playing Indiana. Come on.
We're going to talk to somebody about the new iPad, which came out on Saturday.
Jimmy had it.
Jimmy Kimmel had it, the April Fool's.
Oh, he was flaunting it, wasn't he?
Yes,
he
was.
You don't have one of these yet? Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. And we're going to talk to Casey Anderson, who has a new project called Project I'm Going to Get Eaten by a Bear. I think that's the name of it.
I don't think that's the name, but I think that's
Kodiak,
the spirit of it.
Project Kodiak, yes, that's what I meant, yeah. He's training an 800-pound bear to go back into the wild. And what could go wrong there? Plus, we have HarveyLevin.com coming up as well. I mean, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to do the very best we can today to do an entertaining program, but I have to tell you that all of us are feeling poorly this morning because the worst thing in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show happened over the weekend. And Ralph Garman is not going to be with us this week, and he has specifically asked that we read a statement for you to explain why, and you'll understand why this is such a difficult program for us to do today. So here's what Ralph sent us in the email yesterday. To all the Kevin and Bean listeners, my wife and I want to thank you so much for the avalanche of emails we got when I made the announcement about our twins last week. Your messages were filled with so much love and support and were so appreciated. Sadly, our little son Lincoln was stricken with a horrible sudden illness on Saturday and passed away Sunday morning. I've asked Kevin and Bean to pass this news on to you because so many of you were so generous with your concern and kindness regarding our new family. We'll try to honor Lincoln by giving his little sister Olivia all the love we can. I'll be back as soon as I am able. All my thanks to you all, Ralph.
And yeah, that was a bummer. That was
well, it was the most. I think it was the most shocking thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe it. I can't even imagine what Ralph and his wife Carrie are going through right now. And we're passing along all the best wishes we can. But there's certainly nothing that we can say that's going to make this time any easier for him. And we just wish him all the best and hope they find a way through it. But Ralph very much wanted us to pass this note along to the listeners because he was so overwhelmed, so touched by the support that you gave him when he came back on Friday with the announcement. And it's just got to be impossible to manage in your head the happiest time in your life and then the saddest time in your life all happening at the same time. And they've still got that little girl in ICU that they got to worry about.
Yeah.
So just keep your fingers crossed, and we'll keep you posted on that. Ralph will be back as soon as he can and as soon as he's able. And as awkward a transition as it is, the show must go on, as they say in Hollywood, and we're going to do the showbiz beat right now. Speaking of the weekend, you already heard one Kevin and Bean listener's review of Clash of the Titans. It didn't stop him from making $61.4 million at the box office over the weekend. Kevin, I frankly am shocked that you didn't go see this movie.
Yeah, me too.
This is all you, this movie, right?
Well, first of all, I saw the movie trailer, and I thought the same thing everybody did, which is that could look great. But how many times have we been burned by special effects in movies? That's all they have, and the storyline blows. So I was a little scared of that.
And then you hear that it was shot in 2D and then somehow made into 3D.
They rejiggered it, right.
Yeah. Which doesn't seem good.
So,
And not being as well-versed in the backstory of this film as others, I was always a little afraid that Release the Kraken was going to be a giant poop joke, and I didn't want to see any kind of Kraken, whatever that is, released. I was terrified of what that might be.
Well, you were right.
You might be the only one.
Number one at the box office this week, and number two was this Tyler Perry, who cannot go wrong. You'll never meet a person who sees a Tyler Perry movie. But Why Did I Get Married 2 debuted at number 2 with over $30 million at the box office.
I got to tell you, I've never seen one of his movies, but I've seen him interviewed, and he is a super likable.
Oh, yeah.
Easygoing, just cool, couldn't be better guy.
Sure don't hear anything about him, do you?
It'd be a lot easier to hate him if he was worse, if he was a bad guy.
Seems like a great guy. And by the way, I don't know that his movies are bad. I just know that I don't know anyone who's ever seen him, and it doesn't seem like they're for me. But clearly, he's got an audience. Number three, How to Train Your Dragon. That one is in 3D also, by the way, 29.2. By the way, will Tyler Perry, Why Did I Get Married 3 be Why Did I Get Married 3D? By the time that comes out, they're all going to be in 3D, right?
Sure.
Miley Cyrus. Horrible reviews for the last song, and not a big box office draw with her fans if it came in at number 4. Although $16.2 million is respectable for a movie with this budget,
sure.
I'm sure that there were people who were expecting and hoping for more.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually.
Alice in Wonderland, number 5, The Hot Tub Time Machine. I still haven't had a chance to see that, but looking forward to it, is number 6. The Bounty Hunter, number 7. Diary of a Wimpy Kid came in at 8. She's Out of My League, 9. And Martin Scorsese, Shutter Island, hanging on to round out your top 10 from the weekend.
Oh, poor Rob Pattinson.
Why?
Really, this guy just, you really feel for him.
Yeah.
He's having a rough life, Rob Pattinson. Apparently he is having problems adjusting to fame. The story comes out again.
Yeah.
The Twilight star whined to the British tabloid The London Sun that he gets paranoid when people approach him, and he's been forced to live in a hotel for the last 3 years.
And why can't he have a house just because he's paranoid? I mean, it seems like you could have all the security you wanted. He could afford to buy a big place.
All right, you ready for the line that's going to make you want to hit him?
Okay.
All right.
So he's living in a hotel for the last 3 years. Says his only true companion is his acoustic guitar.
Oh, shut up! That's how sensitive he is.
How crazy is that?
He sits in a hotel and strums his guitar.
Let's say all of that is true. Don't say it, a-hole.
No. No, please don't. And one more, it is Dancing with the Stars tonight on ABC. Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls is still the odds-on favorite. She's going off on Bodog, by the way, Bodog.com, the betting website, at 1-1. So, I mean, that's about as much of a favorite as you can be.
Yeah.
Evan Lysacek is coming in number 2. Aaron Andrews, number 3. Chad Ochocinco, 4. He's at 10-1. The long shot, by the way, is still Buzz Aldrin, 150-1 to win the thing.
And I'm Buzz.
I frankly am shocked that he's still on it after 2 weeks.
Look, he was a dude that stood on the moon, okay?
Right.
Impressive.
40 years ago, too, yes. By the way.
I don't need to ever see or hear from him again.
Gravity has not been good to him.
No, it has not.
Erin Andrews, by the way, in the news, this she can't catch a break. Although, if it hadn't been for the peeping scandal of a few months ago where somebody was videotaping her in her hotel rooms, she probably wouldn't have been famous enough to be called to be a contestant on the show. I mean, yeah. That's kind of how most non-sports fans ever heard about Erin Andrews for the first time, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, now the crazies are coming out. There's going to be extra security on set tonight. A guy has been arrested for death threats to Erin Andrews. I mean, have you seen some of the excerpts of the crazy letters that he was sending her?
No.
Oh, my God. He's talking about how, let's see how you dance in a hail of bullets.
Oh.
Let's see if I can get close enough to you to show you my suicide vest. I mean, he was just going crazy for her.
Oh, my God.
Look, she's a hot chick who likes sports. Those are not the people you need to be trying to take out, right? You should be encouraging people like that.
Well, I don't think there's a lot of common sense going on here, Bean.
Well, I'm just saying.
I don't think they're weighing the pros and cons before they decide they're going to kill him.
Don't kill Erin Andrews. That's the message I'm sharing with the audience here today. If you have the opportunity, don't. Kiss her or photograph her. Do something. Don't kill.
Yeah, don't kiss her either, by the way. That'll end up badly for you, too.
Yeah, that's probably true.
She'll be on the show tonight. Celebrity birthdays. How about this one's just for Psycho Mike. Christopher Reed, he was Kid of Kid and Play, celebrating his birthday today.
Right. Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
producer, he's 46, by the way. Producer Pharrell Williams celebrates his birthday today. He is 37. Mike McCready from Pearl Jam turns 44 today. And Dean Kamen, you don't know the name, but he's the guy who invented the Segway. And I bring it up because if it hadn't been for Dean Kamen, would there have been a Paul Blart Mall Cop?
See,
I mean,
there you
come
go.
Come on, without the Segway. He is 59 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Thanks again to everybody who came out to support us for April Foolishness. Raised a ton of money for charity this past Saturday night. We'll talk about that show and want to hear from you if you were there, coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our new obsession is 911 calls, and God bless YouTube. What did we do in this country before there was YouTube where you could go and look up anything that had ever been broadcast ever?
We were just sad people.
Sad and lonely.
We were just sad. I love 911 calls so much. Not the sad ones. The ones where, you know, people are in pain and people are hurting, but the ones where people call and they never should have called, or the ones where, you know, something goes horribly wrong for them that's hilarious. And those are the calls that we are spotlighting on our new feature that we like to call 911 is a joke.
Be cool if I had that up, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes
right up there, if you are up there.
Like it
this.
Sounded
up
there. Like.
If you search for 911 and then it'll come up, is a joke. No, keep going.
How did Mike not know that we were going to need that here?
911 is a joke. 911.
Hey, Loveline can have them as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe we could just hum
it. It's on there. Get up, get down. 911 is a joke in our town, right?
There you go. It's like PE is here in the room with us.
All right, listen. Forget it, Mike. Just forget it. Forget it.
Wow, what a fail. I start every week
thinking, let's call 911 on Mike.
Every week I come in, I go, this is the week that Kevin and Bean are going to figure out how to do this job. This is the week that's going to be error-free, and we're going to deliver consistently quality programming all week long.
This isn't the week.
What is it that makes you think that?
I don't know, just blind optimism.
All right, I'm ready.
To get up, get down, 911 is joking, joking.
All right, there you go.
All right.
There you go.
What's first?
I believe the first one is the 12-year-old that's out of control. I may have cut that out. Boy, this is rough. I don't know because we haven't listened. I think the first one is a woman who calls 911 on herself because she's drunk driving.
All right.
Okay.
Making no promises here. Let's hear.
Do you need 911?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, why don't you tell me what's going on? Are you intoxicated?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now. I am on...
Are you driving?
Yeah. Hang on.
Pull into the parking lot so you can... Because you shouldn't be driving while you're talking on the phone. Pull into the parking lot and let's talk for a minute. Okay?
I shouldn't be driving. I'll pull over.
Okay.
Next time she gets to an exit, she'll pull over. Not now, but when she gets to an exit.
I love that the 911 operator realizes she's drinking and driving. So obviously, pull over, ma'am, right? She's like, oh, hang on. And she's on his cell phone while she's drunk driving.
She was saying hang on because she wanted to tell him where she was.
Right.
He didn't care. He just wanted her to pull over.
Unbelievable. We asked this question last time. We had another 911 call from a drunk lady. Why call 911 if you know you're drunk driving? What does she expect to happen when she dials the phone?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's not like you're thinking straight.
I guess not.
Yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
It's always women that call on themselves, which I think is so interesting.
And it's not only one. You know, this is the second one we've heard so far. This dude took too much Viagra, and he thinks it might be bad.
I took some pills, and I took two Viagra pills, and my erection had been up for like 4 days, and there hasn't been any signs of change whatsoever, and I'm really sick.
Okay, again, I have to ask the question, why is this a 911 issue? Go to the hospital. Go to the emergency room, right?
Well, that's what they say. If your erection lasts more than, wasn't it, 4 hours?
Four hours. Consult
the
doctor.
48 hours.
Right. So he shouldn't be calling 911. He should be using that time to walk down, hunch down to his car, get in, and drive to the hospital. That's what he ought to be doing.
Or strip club. One or the other.
That'll take care of it.
Right. This dude is great. He's old. He's abusive. He's very angry. This poor 911 operator is just trying to help him. She just wants to get the information.
It's a brutal job.
He's insulting in every single way. He's insulting. I mean, it's ridiculous the kind of stuff that he says. So, don't keep going. Oh, no.
Man, this what's is going so on, rough. You guys?
I go to the beginning of that call.
Oh.
Go back. Yeah, there. Okay, there you go.
Good directions.
Hi, what's the address that we need to come to?
Pardon me?
Your address, sir?
4220.
4220 Winford, sir?
Yes.
Okay, and what's going on there?
This happened yesterday, and you motherfucker trying to put my ass in jail and not understanding what's going on.
Okay, do you need medical attention?
Yeah.
What is wrong?
I don't know. I ain't no goddamn doctor.
All right, now, if she's asking what's wrong, you're calling 911.
Right.
Just tell her I'm bleeding or my head hurts or so.
She doesn't need a full physical.
You call. Right, know. Exactly. Something's wrong.
She doesn't need a blood test and a full physical and an autopsy. What's wrong with you?
Sir, are you feeling pain? What is the problem?
I'm crazy as hell. I ain't got no medicine. I went to the hospital and the doctor got mad because I told him that, white boy used to my mama a long time ago.
Sir, are you in pain somewhere, or what is
it? Yes, I got headaches in my leg and everything. I've been in a fight.
He has headaches in his leg, first of all.
And everything.
Well, that is serious.
And second of all, he did say what you thought he did, which was white men had sex with my mom a long time ago.
And that would be relevant how to this call?
You tell me.
So you want the paramedics to come and check you, correct?
Where I thought you were getting. What the hell going on?
All right. When did that happen?
Yesterday. Damn. My head's hurting. You go send somebody here, you go right on the phone.
Okay. And are you in Millennium Point Apartments?
Yeah.
Now, here's the best part.
Yeah.
You're in the apartments. Yes. Now, the follow-up question clearly is what apartment number?
Yes.
Right, because the paramedics want to be able to find you when they come to that apartment complex. Please help us with that.
What apartment number are you
going on down there, ma'am?
Sir, I am trying to help you. What apartment number are you in?
My head is hurting.
Can you tell me what apartment number you're in?
What?
What apartment number are you in?
I ain't no goddamn apartment.
Are you in Millennium Point Apartment?
What's wrong with your ass? How much schooling have you had?
Yeah, this is the problem, is that she hasn't had enough schooling. That's the problem here.
Sir, are you in Millennium Point Apartments?
I told you that.
Okay, what apartment number are you in? What apartment number are you in?
I ain't no goddamn apartment. It's a town house.
And what's the phone number that you're calling from?
I don't know what it is.
Is your phone number 407-883?
It's back the one she has.
Well, you know the number, why you ask me?
Because I need to confirm it with you, sir.
All right, you got it.
When does it turn into a quiz show?
He's not in an apartment, he's in a town.
House. All right, you got it. Go to KevinAB.com and look up 911 as a joke. We have all of these on there. I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't play.
Fire department operator 75, what's the address, please?
16121. Hello? Hello?
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
16121 Harris.
Is it a house, apartment, or business?
It's a house.
In what city?
In Compton.
What's wrong right now?
I don't know. I just want the ambulance to take me to the hospital, and that's it.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
19 years old. You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker, of course.
What happened to you?
Well, I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut.
You fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Stairs. Like, man, too much information and man.
You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. Hey, you don't got to bring all that siren and just come like quiet and
oh, yeah, okay.
And pick me up and that's it. Turn me to a memorial hospital.
That's where you want to go?
Yeah, just let me. I got insurance and all that piece of.
Oh, fantastic. They don't think they really care, though. They'll try to give you the best help they can.
All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good. Any nausea or vomiting? You think you're going to throw up at all?
No.
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin? Like you're going into shock?
No.
Okay.
But like going to sleep and
right. Well, sit there with the phone right now and wait for us to get there to help you out. If anything changes, just call us right back, okay?
All right, listen.
What's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor. We'll be there in just a moment.
All right, listen.
Bye-bye.
I love him so much. KevinAmin.com, 911 is a joke.
To get up or get down, 911 is joking, though.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Monday where we are very sad because we didn't get our iPads on Saturday, but we'll talk to someone who did coming up in about 15 minutes. I guess he's a tech expert and can tell us. He can, now that you, everything that had been written about the iPad was from people who hadn't actually had a chance to use it before. Now that it's in his hands, he can tell us what's awesome and what's not so awesome about it. That's coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show.
And stupid Jimmy Kimmel had one Saturday night.
I know.
At April Foolishness.
Flaunting it.
He did. Let's talk about the April Foolishness, our sold-out show. Second year in a row we've done it. It was great hanging out with and meeting the representatives that we had talked to on the radio from the charities that benefited from the show this year. Boarding for Breast Cancer. We talked to Justine there. Camp Laurel's, was her name Monica, I want to say? We talked to her on the show last week.
I think.
Margo met her very, very nicely. They're doing fantastic work, and thanks to your support in buying the tickets, she raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for those charities. If you were at the show, April Foolishness, we would like to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the people listening weren't able to be there, so we want to tell you, you suck, because it was awesome.
Jimmy came out originally, and Jimmy Kimmel came out originally, and he started doing a thing, and I thought to myself, how high must he have been when he came up with this idea? You remember when Monique...
Really, really high?
Remember when Monique won an Oscar?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
So he was going to perform her Oscar speech, her acceptance speech,
mm-hmm.
and sing a song by Howard Jones, which was from when, D? No one is to blame.
1985.
1985. So he was going to sing that at the same time as he did the acceptance speech for Monique. Now, I don't know how your mind works, but that would, it's not like I would go, hey, that might be a good idea. No, maybe I better not. I would never think of that in a million years.
No.
Well, I would never think of either part of that.
Right.
Forget putting them together. If I'm Jimmy Kimmel and I'm opening April Foolishness, it never occurs to me, hey, maybe I'll just go out there and sing No One Is to Blame. Or you maybe I'll go out there and do Monique's acceptance speech. Like, why would you? You can
feel the kisses. This is the song from 1985. You can dip your foot in the pool, but you and I'll tell you something else. Jimmy Kimmel loves karaoke like no one I've ever met before. But
yep.
To stand in front of 6,000 people and sing this.
It was odd.
One of the strangest things I've ever seen. That's why we love Jimmy.
And by the way, I don't even think he was the highest guy on the bill either.
No question.
Beautiful thing about our show. Speaking of high guys on the bill, I don't think he was high, but how long had it been since Jeffrey Ross took a shower when we saw him on Saturday night?
Well,
he looked like
that he smelled.
He doesn't.
No, not at all.
But he looked from.
He looked
bold,
terrible.
Sort of.
He looked like a homeless guy.
He doesn't really try to clean up.
Mm-mm. No.
I think is the deal. But he invited a bunch of people on stage and then just roasted them in, 15 seconds each.
It was awesome.
He's so, that's the thing. And people were saying, guys, you really shot the wad last year with that phenomenal lineup. What are you going to do this year? Is it possible that this year was even better than last year? No offense to any of the comedians on either bill, but I mean, just everybody just brought it.
Jay Moore just ruled. first
he was
of all.
Incredible.
He was great.
And speaking of which, let's take a call from somebody who was there. Eric. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was there. I saw Jay Moore. I thought it was the funniest of all of them I saw. And the joke about Tracy Morgan was hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Jay Moore does a chunk in his act, and he's done it on our show before, too, some of the stuff that he can say. And he plays Tracy Morgan, the Saturday Night Live actor who's now on 30 Rock, who's hilarious. He was the star of that Kevin Smith Copland. Cop, what's it called? Cop.
Cop People.
Cop People.
Cop Out.
Cop Out. Thank you. Hilarious guy and crazy. And when Jay Moore does Tracy Morgan, he sounds exactly like him. And he walks around with his belly sticking out and just saying the craziest things, telling the craziest stories. And it's so funny. I'd love to see what Tracy Morgan thinks about Jay Moore doing Tracy Morgan.
I'll bet he's met him. I'll bet. I mean, you would think so. They would move in the same circles or whatever. But, Mike, you were sitting where when he started talking about Tracy Jordan? When he does the impression, he talks like Tracy Jordan.
Well, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan, right. Tracy Morgan, it turns out, will occasionally use the N-word.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe he's saying that stuff.
Right, but it wasn't like Jay was just saying, hey, you are. He was doing a press.
He's doing it as Tracy Morgan.
And I don't doubt for a minute that Tracy Morgan does that to be funny either, by the way.
Not a bit. I agree. Totally. He knows what he's saying, whatever. Yes, I can.
And let's remember he was telling a story about smoking PCP with Tracy Morgan. So they were both out of their minds.
True, yes, yes.
But he does go into this hilarious story about that. And they're at a club and he starts throwing out the N-word and going on this diatribe. And I look over and I'm sitting next to maybe the only five black people in the entire auditorium.
Right.
And I was like, well, this is uncomfortable. But maybe they have a good sense of humor.
But they understood it was an impression of...
And they are looking at him like Republicans at an NWA concert. I mean, they were just glaring at him. And I'm like, so now I'm telling myself, don't laugh. Don't laugh because you're that guy.
In this situation,
good luck, by the way.
You're joining him. And right. I'm biting my finger and I'm squeezing my butt cheeks, doing whatever I can not to laugh.
Find Jay Moore funnier than almost anyone.
Yeah.
On a normal basis.
I couldn't take it. I mean, it was so funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. But
luckily, I wasn't around any black people, so it was good.
Most of us weren't. All right. Thank you, Eric.
You're very welcome.
Bye now.
Yeah, Eric.
Adam Carolla was great, as always. He came out complaining, and this is going to send him straight to hell on Easter weekend, by the way, to come out and complain that Jesus died on a Friday and came back on a Sunday.
Right.
Why couldn't he have spread it out in the middle of the week so we get more days off?
I think that, that's a valid point about planning.
Sure.
And this is what I love about so many of the comedians, and Sarah Silverman was just like this, and Joe Rogan, of course, is always like this, is you laugh even though you know how wrong it is.
Right.
Even though you're sitting there going, I should not be laughing at that. I should disapprove of what I am hearing right now, but damn is it funny.
I was talking to Joe Rogan after the show, and he said, I think I broke my hand.
What?
Really? Do you guys remember when he was saying my hand's bleeding on stage?
Yeah.
When he said that on stage? He hit a chair or something, and literally his hand was starting to swell and his knuckles were all swelling up.
He was doing a bit about being handcuffed. He was playing it out, acting out being handcuffed, and Kevin's exactly right. He smashed his knuckles on the chair, and I happened to be on the side of the stage after Joe was getting off stage, and Kevin's not exaggerating. The whole bottom half of his forearm was covered in blood.
Oh, my gosh.
It looked as if he punched someone or punched a wall. That his hand was engulfed in blood. I thought it was a joke. It looked like stage makeup.
That's the difference between him and me is that I would go, I got to go to the hospital right now.
He didn't even know him. Yeah, he said, oh, it's bleeding. That's all he said.
He did that a third of the way in and then finished his set.
Wow.
Yeah.
All the comedians I mentioned, plus Aziz Ansari, who was awesome, and Bill Burr, who I think for a lot of people was the surprise of the night because he was perhaps the least known of the comedians on the bill. But he, he's done Letterman 100 times. He said comedy specials, the whole deal. The guy's a pro, and he was phenomenal.
Stuff about the dog was hilarious.
And thanks again to every one of those comedians who did it for free, which they don't do ever, pretty much, so that all the proceeds go to charity. It's very cool.
I don't get that. I don't know where Jimmy Kimmel was coming from either.
I don't either, but I was whatever it was he was taking just before he did it.
And let's give special props to Jeff Ross for calling Dave the King of Mexico and Omar Cheech and Chong's retarded nephews.
Yes. That's true.
That was one of the funniest moments for me.
That is true. So thanks to everybody that came out for that. All the money went to charity. It was a very cool event.
I do feel like the iPad is mocking me. I feel like the iPad is following me. We ran into Jimmy Kimmel at our show over the weekend. He was walking around with his iPad. I was in the airport, of course, flying to and from the April Fool's show, and half the magazines at the airport newsstand had the iPad where Steve Jobs on the cover.
Yeah.
Just mocking me, saying you don't have one and I do. And then a couple of nights ago on our favorite show, Modern Family, it was like a 30-minute infomercial for the iPad, remember?
It's all he wanted for his birthday.
Who wants some cake?
I used to, but I don't desire food any. Oh, my God, you got it! All this time I said I didn't care, but I do care. I care so much.
Do you want to blow out the candle?
Yes.
Go.
Oh. It did not just do that.
Yes, it did.
Honey. Oh, who's ready for the first day of the rest of their lives?
Happy birthday.
Look at this.
Birthday.
Yeah, not so hard, but touch it. Touch it, but don't touch it. Touch it, but don't touch it.
How many times have I heard touch it, but don't touch it in my life, by the way?
Zero. It's always just touch it.
Let's talk to, or don't touch it. Let's talk to Chris Nell. He is the Yahoo News Tech Editor to find out if it's right that I'm sad to not have an iPad. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, and actually my iPad is mocking you, too, right now.
Oh, yeah. That hurts me so bad. Look, here's the discussion Kevin and I have been having off the air ever since the thing was announced. We have iPhones, and we have the laptops.
Yeah,
the MacBook Pros. Right. So why do we need an iPad? There's no reason I can think of that I need an iPad, but every time I see one, I go, must have. What's going on here?
Yeah, there is no reason you need an iPad, but you do say that. I've been obsessed with this thing since it was announced, and I, just like the iPhone, I said, you know, I've got to get one of those. And I, now that I have it, I'm wondering, why did I get one of these?
Describe it for people who haven't seen it yet.
Well, basically, you know, all the rumors are correct. It is an overgrown iPod Touch in every sense. So it's got the metal aluminum back, the solid, completely flat glass screen with one button at the bottom.
How big is the screen?
It is 9.7 inches.
That's what she
said. And so that makes it about the size of a hardcover book. And it weighs a pound and a half, which sounds really light. But when you hold it for about 10 minutes, it starts to feel really heavy.
Wow, you need to start working out.
you don't hold it up in front of your face. You have to lean it. You have to lay it down on something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's kind of where the challenges of the iPad start to come into play. Like, you can hold your iPhone all day long. You just rest your you only need one hand. You rest your elbow on the arm of the chair.
I'm going to say again, I reject you totally if you're telling me it's too heavy.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're holding it up to use it all the time, would be a problem.
Just like with a laptop, Kevin, you wouldn't want to hold a laptop to use it.
Right, but a laptop is 5 or 6 pounds. This is one.
It's not too heavy to hold it. It's too heavy to hold it
for a long
time. For a long time.
I see, okay.
And yeah, it's simply unwieldy. You know, it's a big piece of metal that you can barely hold in one hand because it's very slick and slippery. And so you have to use two hands, and then that becomes an issue of, like, how do you position yourself to do this? And you can really only get that by playing with it for a while.
Oh. Sure. this entire conversation is that's what she said, by the way.
What's that, buddy?
Chris, is the market for people who don't want to carry around something as heavy as a laptop and still have basic internet and email functions, is that the market for this?
Well, you know, Apple's been very clever in not trying to market it for any specific purpose and letting the user decide what it's really for. I've been pretty excited by some of the apps that you can do on the iPad that you can't get on the iPhone. Like, you can watch a movie on Netflix on very large screen,
right?
Which, you know, is a sad experience on an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, the book reader here is fantastic. It puts the Kindle to shame, makes it look just fabulous. The magazines on it look great.
Right. I'm not.
But
that's great. But I'm not going to buy an iPad so I can read a magazine.
No.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know.
Bean and I both love Apple, honestly, in our personal lives. We do some advertising for them and stuff. But the truth is, we both have Apple, and we're both early adopters of this kind of stuff. We love this kind of stuff. But I can't get my head around why I could possibly need it.
One of it pretty much duplicates everything you have among all your
right.
Gadgets,
I have
right?
my iPod Touch, but if you have a MacBook Pro, it's way better. So you don't need this. But Jimmy had it, and all of a sudden I needed it. Here's one of the rumors, though, that I wanted to ask you about. One of the rumors was it can't multitask. You can't listen to a song and work on photos, for example.
Right. That's absolutely false. I mean, it's got the same multitasking that an iPhone has. I mean, you can do that on an iPhone. You can listen to music and check your email.
And I said that to Jimmy, my friend, on Saturday night. I said, yeah, but it can't play music. He's like, of course it can. What's wrong with you? And he started playing a song.
Who started that little rumor?
I don't know.
Because everyone's heard it.
Right.
Bill Gates started that rumor.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, good.
700,000 sold over the weekend, Chris? Is that what you heard?
The numbers, the real numbers came in this morning from Apple. It's 300,000.
Oh, interesting.
700 was an estimate from an analyst firm, which totally was wrong.
Is the screen high def? I mean, could you play high def movies?
Yeah, it's 1024 by whatever. So, yeah, it's high def.
Why will they not ever include a Blu-ray player in any of their products?
You know, that's a great player. Of course, this doesn't have any kind of an optical disc. You have to get content through iTunes or somehow get it to the device yourself.
Oh, so you can't even play a DVD. There's not even room for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Apple, Steve Jobs doesn't like Blu-ray just the same way he doesn't like Flash. You know, he wants to be behind it.
And by the way, that has burned me so many times with things that I've tried to do on my iPhone. It does not support Flash. You're not able to use it. I was very disappointed with the bigger screen. How much would you want to use Flash on the iPad? I don't get what their bones are about that.
Well, again, that's Steve Jobs. He doesn't want to pay a royalty. He doesn't want another company, in this case Adobe, to have any sway over how his device works. And so he's been pushing HTML5, of course, as a substitute for Flash, which will offer that same kind of feature, but it's free.
If you're tuning in just now, we have Chris Knoll, who is the Yahoo News tech editor, and he's talking about the iPad and how we all have to have it, and we don't know why. I don't know why.
What I have to ask you this, Chris, because we're almost out of time, but thank you for being on with us. With so many technologies, Apple and other companies, you see the first go round, you go, I want it, but what are they going to do next? Is there an iPad 2.0 6 months away that people ought to wait for maybe and see what they add?
Well, the big question right now is whether you should wait for the iPad with 3G in a month, because the Wi-Fi on the iPad is not very great. I have parts of my house I can barely get a signal at all, and I certainly can't do any streaming.
But in a month, they're going to come out with 3G?
Yeah, they're adding 3G to this. It's going to look and feel exactly the same.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, then you'll be able to actually use it outside of your house. And, of course, there's going to be an iPad 2, but it's probably a year away. That's the Apple, you know, agenda. You get 1 year to play with this, and just when you're about to get tired of it, they say, well, here's something new.
But this one is 100 inches. It's a 100-inch tablet.
That's right.
That's really hard to hold.
All right. Well, good stuff. So you're enjoying yours as we wrap up here, Chris. Is it something that you see yourself using or something that's still going to be kind of a novelty for you and you'll really stick to the iPod Touch and the laptop?
It's already becoming a bit of a novelty for me, and I'm seeing myself migrate back to my phone, my iPhone a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Look up on yahoo.com under Today in Tech, the working guy, Chris Knoll. You'll find him there, and we thank him for being on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. We're going to look for the worst driver listening to the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in about 10 minutes or so. I think Miss Cleo is clearly the worst driver on the staff. Let's see who can beat her with the amount of tickets she's got in the shortest amount of time. That's coming up. Kill the music for 1 second because we do have some business to take care of first that is extremely difficult for us to deal with. We could spend the whole day talking about this, but we're going to try to just move on and entertain you today. But here's the message that speaks for itself, sent from our own Ralph Garman, who is not with us this week. To all the Kevin and Bean listeners, my wife and I want to thank you so much for the avalanche of emails we got when I made the announcement about our twins last week. Your messages were filled with so much love and support and were so appreciated. Sadly, our little son, Lincoln, was stricken with a horrible sudden illness on Saturday and passed away Sunday morning. I've asked Kevin and Bean to pass this news on to you because so many of you were so generous with your concern and kindness regarding our new family. We'll try to honor Lincoln by giving his little sister, Olivia, all the love we can. I'll be back as soon as I am able. All my thanks to you all, Ralph.
So they had twins, and they were preemies. They were like two and three pounds or something like that. So they were in intensive care. And so.
Yeah, terrible, terrible news. But Ralph did email us over the weekend and ask us to pass it along because he really was so deeply touched by all the well wishes that he got from the Kevin and Bean listeners. And obviously, our thoughts and prayers are going out to Ralph and Carrie and to little Olivia. And we wish them the very best and hope that Ralph's back when he's ready. Now you can hit the music. And now we can try to make the awkward transition into showbiz reports.
Let's talk about Dr. Conrad Murray. I've been obsessed with him since this story broke.
A year ago.
And he has a new legal strategy now.
It's so crazy.
According to TMZ.com, which is where we find out all of our entertainment news, because they're only right 100% of the time, it seems like. Conrad Murray says that his new legal strategy is to blame Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson's doctor, according to TMZ, will argue that the King of Pop had a long-running addiction to propofol. and gave himself the fatal dose of the powerful sedative.
Okay, good luck with that.
He's been saying all along that he was trying to wean Michael Jackson off of the propofol, right? That he was using too much of it, and he was trying to wean him off of him, yet he was still obviously administering some to him at some point.
But, yeah. Yeah, I don't. That doesn't sound like it'll fly to me, because if it's something that's that potent, you don't just go, hey, give yourself whatever you need.
Yeah, I'm going to go take a call in this room.
Right,
you know? Exactly.
That seems ridiculous, but who
Yeah, knows? That's your job as a doctor, by the way, is to say no. Your job as a doctor is to be there to personally administer potentially life-ending medications, all right?
Well, I
your job as a doctor is to do that in a hospital, first of all.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, right there, is he not guilty?
That's what I would think. I don't know.
The all the players in the Sandra Bullock, Jesse James, Michelle Bombshell McGee excitement were in play over the weekend. Lots of reports. Of course, they're all over Sandra Bullock. She still has not been seen in public. They did get a picture of her last week in a car with a hat over her face, but they are hounding her like it's America's Most Wanted, this poor woman.
Can you imagine? She already went through that, and now they're hounding her.
Yeah,
yep. Sucks. There are all sorts of pictures of moving vans at her house, taking furniture out, all right, which is not necessarily a good sign. Another magazine is reporting that Jesse James checked himself out of rehab over frustration that he was not able to get Sandra Bullock on the phone. And he said, this is it. I'm leaving.
Okay.
So he's out of rehab. And what was he there, about 4 days?
Yeah, probably.
Bombshell, meanwhile, mistress number one, was back this weekend in San Diego at the Pure Platinum Gentlemen's Club. You know, we had had reports in the past of Jesse James and Michelle Bombshell McGee getting together in the champagne room,
right?
You know, out there for $400. Lap dances, $100. By the way, seems pretty reasonable
what?
For somebody with such notoriety. You think she charged a lot more than that?
Wow! Did she have a line out the door?
It doesn't say here, but yeah, I'm sure that her notoriety is bringing some people in who want to meet her.
The price of a lap dance, though, is like the sticker price of a car. It starts off with $100, and then it's like for two songs, it's $400, and you always end up spending way more.
I didn't know that, but thank you, Mike.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And here's the... they don't have the 6 foot rule down in San Diego either, right? Yeah, so that's better.
You have to pay the $100, and then you have to pay, if you want to sit down, you have to pay more. That's how it works.
And here's the saddest part, by the way, and I'll ask Harvey if this is true or if this is something somebody's making up, but I see a report that she is refereeing a boxing match between between John Gosselin's ex-girlfriend, Haley Glassman, and a Triple X star named Gina Lynn in Philadelphia on May 7th. How low rent an event is this if you get Jesse James' pole dancer mistress to referee a fight that involves a porn star and Haley Glassman, who used to date the guy from John and Kate? What kind of a show is that?
That really has everything. It really has everything. I love that.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, we'll ask Harvey about that. We talk to him later on the Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Mike McCready? He is from Pearl Jam, of course. He's 44. Christopher Reed, he's Kid of Kid and Play. Now, he's not the one with the awesome haircut. That was Play, right? Or was it Kid also? Or who had the great fade?
I was Kid.
I'm going to go Kid.
I was Kid.
Kid had the hair. My wife's favorite TV actor ever. She would so leave me for Mitch Pledgey, the bald guy who was the assistant FBI chief on the X-Files. Oh, does she love him so much? 57 years old today,
I got news for you. The list of people that she would leave you for is long.
Right, but he happens to be at the top of that very, very long list. Right. That is the Showbiz Beat. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Later this hour, by the way, we're going to talk to a guy who is trying to train his bear to live in the wild. And it could be the last interview he ever does.
What could go wrong there?
What could go wrong with that? That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, though. Let's welcome Miss Cleo, who answers the phones here on the program, to the studio. Hi, Cleo. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well.
I got a handful of Miss Cleo at the show on Saturday night. April Foolishness, by the way.
Is that code?
No, that's real.
Oh, really?
You really did.
Best time to not be code.
not a euphemism. Miss Cleo and I were sitting next to each other at our big comedy show that we did. And thanks again to everybody who supported that and raised a lot of money for charity. We were sitting next to each other, and she went to do an onstage announcement. And when she came back, I don't know how it happened. The timing was unfortunate. But I had my hand on her chair, open palm. And then what are the chances that right then she would come and decide to sit down right in her seat.
A lot of people don't know that's how Bean always sits at shows. Exactly. It's really weird.
Puts his hand on both chairs.
That's how he does it. He has to have three seats, and he puts his hand on each one, and Miss Cleo should have known that.
I jumped so high during a season. Sorry.
I will never wash that hand again. But Miss Cleo, by the way, has never looked better. You know, I don't see her very often, every couple of months, and I saw her on a Saturday night. She looks phenomenal. She's fabulous. It's going to be so great for her because soon she's going to be hitchhiking to work. work. So it's great that she's so attractive because it'll be a lot easier for her to get rides.
Miss Cleo has received a ticket or two.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this not too long ago.
A couple.
She had 5 tickets in 6 months. 5, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm.
5 tickets, 6 months. Now, we're not talking about one stop where the cop just loads up on everything you can think of. 5 different stops and tickets.
Now, these are moving violations, right?
Yeah.
All speeding, Cleo, or were there some other things in there?
They were all speeding except for one, which was speeding and driving in the carpool lane. That one was a double.
All right, good. Good. So we were talking about this. We were saying, you know, after your second ticket, you know, in a couple months, don't you go, hey, I kind of got to watch it. I need to be. And then your third ticket, don't you at that point go, maybe I'll go the speed. And then the fourth ticket and then the fifth ticket. So then she got a hold of the ticket clinic.
That's right.
And it's a company that advertises on this station, and she got them all wiped off of her record.
Well, I still don't know how they do this.
Magic.
Because,
I mean, seriously, how do you do that? That's incredible. Do you know anything about how that works, Miss Cleo?
Nope.com.
It's amazing.
The truth is, they
just wave a wand.
Well, the truth is I was the one who was hired through the station to represent them on the air.
Okay. Right.
And I have a pretty clean driving record. So I told them about Miss Cleo, and they were salivating. Like, she's great. She's exactly what we're looking for.
By the way, we all salivate.
And they contacted sales here at the station who subsequently told me out of the blue one day, just with nothing behind it, they said, oh, by the way, let Miss Cleo know that her record's totally clean.
And I
went to talk to Miss Cleo about it, and sure enough, it's the truth.
5 tickets in 6 months. Now, at that point, you would think, okay, I dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to speed again for
it's
a couple
a
of years.
It's a miracle what happened to her.
She was so relieved. Am I right, Cleo? I mean, she was so overwhelmed.
You cheated death, essentially.
A weight was lifted off of my shoulders.
Right. And then what happened last week?
I got another ticket.
Ha ha! Miss Cleo, what do you think that's about? Because at this point, you know that you have a high likelihood of being caught.
Yes.
What makes you, why is that not enough to say, hey, I'm not going to speed here because it's burned me so many times in the past?
Do you want the truth?
I do.
Since my last ticket, I have been using, I think I zone out when I drive. I just completely, pay attention.
On a lot of levels, that's good.
And what do they call it? I've got a lead foot where I just don't. So the last time I got the ticket and the ticket clinic got it cleared and everything, I said, okay, I really need to slow down. So I've been using my cruise control.
Right.
And
just set it.
Set it,
and you're okay.
Exactly.
Right.
That morning was literally the first time in 4 months that I've gone anything over 75 miles per hour.
And how fast were you going?
90.
So 5 tickets in 6 months and then cleared and then got a ticket for going 90. Now, here's our question to you. Is there anyone out there that's worse?
I doubt it. I mean, really, shocked.
I would be shocked too. But we're going to open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Different stops, not all the same stop.
Right.
But
Exactly. If you got 5 tickets in one stop, we don't need to hear from you. We need to hear: Are you as consistently a stupid driver as Miss Cleo? That's what we're looking for, right? If your record was cleared, as you think it was, you're not going to be in any danger of losing your license then, because you just have one speeding ticket on your record, right, Cleo?
Correct. I mean, there's nothing on. I requested my record from the DMV the last time I got my ticket because I was truly terrified that I'm not going to be able to drive anymore.
Right, which you should have been.
And there was nothing on there.
Right.
All right.
So I would assume.
But if it goes in front of. You've already gone to traffic court in the last.
I've already done the double traffic school, which
traffic
is
school.
16 hours of traffic school because it was less than 18 months than the last time I'd done traffic school. So I think if I go in front of a judge and say, can I do traffic school for this? They're going to say no.
Well, the judge, contrary to the DMV record, will have all
everything.
They will see all
my citations
and
what I did with them, like ticket clinic. Killed this one. I did traffic school for this one. I did double traffic school for this one. So I don't think I'm going to be able to get out of this at all.
No, it's good, though. It's good. You're going 90. That's good. So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067 when we get
back. It wasn't so funny.
It's a shame we can't put it in the file when it's off the air. That's what I'm saying. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. The man who's training his bear, trying to release him into the wild. That's a crazy story. We'll talk to him coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus Matt Money Smith with a preview of tonight's NCAA Men's College Basketball Final. Miss Cleo was in the room. She answers phones for the Kevin and Bean Show. She's awesome. We love her. She's part of the family. I wouldn't ride in a car with her so much. she's not perhaps the best driver in the world, and that is evidenced by the amount of conversation she's had roadside with police officers in the last year, which is, how many did we decide? Six tickets in the last year?
Correct. Yeah.
Five okay. in 6 months, and then she got those right. taken off of her record. Then last week, she got another speeding ticket.
So we want you to top that at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Joey real quick and see what he's got to offer at line three. Is Joey a worse driver than Miss Cleo? Hi, Joey. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Hey, May.
Hey, May.
Hey. Is it just May now?
All right. What's the deal?
All right. So when I was when I first got my license within the first year of driving, I accumulated 7 tickets and 2 accidents.
7 tickets and nice. 2 accidents in a year.
How old were you?
My first year. Well, 16 and typing.
Yeah. Okay, now I have to ask this because had that been me, after the first ticket, my parents would have taken my privileges to drive a car away for probably 6 months.
I couldn't believe it. My license, of course, was suspended for a year after that, and then my parents wouldn't let me get my license for an additional year.
Yeah.
So I had to wait 2 years to get my license.
And you didn't wait 2 years. You got a fake license and you started driving immediately.
Get it and go, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
How are you as an adult driver now?
Oh, no, well, I'm a truck driver, so.
Wow.
They let you drive after all of that?
I got my stuff together, man.
Wow. All right.
Good for maybe you. There's hope.
A couple rough bumps, but.
Sure.
At least I learned.
All right.
Thanks for the call. I don't know if Miss Cleo is smart enough to put two and two together and figure out that she can't keep driving like this her whole life.
No, you know what's weird is the first, 5 years of having my license, I didn't have a single ticket. And then it's this last year. It's just all of a sudden.
I'd like to suggest.
It is when I started working
it's
here.
It's getting
if I could,
up that early.
If I could suggest, stop it.
All right. Let's talk to Vanessa, who may be the hottest woman who's ever driven a car. Wait till you hear her story. Hi, Vanessa. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
This isn't right, and it only happens because you're super hot. Right, Vanessa?
I have no idea, but I had a kid. You know, I had 2 kids 2 years in a row, and I just lost the baby weight from my last one. And I tell you, ever since then, I think since November, I've gotten stopped 13 times.
Since November, you've been pulled over 13 times. For speeding, mostly?
Mostly for speeding,
okay.
Yeah.
And how many tickets?
One.
Hot.
Unbelievable. I don't understand.
Yeah, and in fact, it's funny because I just got the speeding ticket last week, and then I have a headlight out. So 2 nights ago, I got pulled over for the headlight, and he let me go. And then last night, I got pulled over. I knew he was going to stop me for speeding.
Right.
The first thing out of his mouth was, "Do you know why I stopped you tonight?" And I said, "Oh, broken headlight." And he kind of stares at me. And he goes, "Well, just get that taken care of." And I said, "No problem, officer."
What?
But look at it this way, Kevin. If you were a police officer and you're running a radar trap and somebody really hot goes by and you have the opportunity legally with your job to pull over and check her out,
right?
You do it. You do it, right?
Absolutely. But here's
and then why give them a ticket and just spend the work on the paperwork? Why not just meet her and say goodbye?
But here's my thing. That is what I would do specifically. Shouldn't there be a higher standard for cops than what I would do?
Yes.
For actual cops, yes.
I mean, they pulled her over 13 times. They gave her one ticket.
Vanessa, are you, super flirty with these guys, or you're wearing something low-cut, or what's the secret? Because you can't have more than Miss Cleo's got.
Well, you know what? I'm not even sure. I mean, I don't think I flirt with them, but I just kind of, I get off work. I'm a nurse. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I should just drive around in scrubs all day.
Yes.
That would help,
exactly. And, so that's all I'm saying. You have to have a seal in the car.
Thank you for the call. Get off the road, all right? Let's talk to, Cooper on line 7. Cooper, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you the champion? Are you a worse driver than anyone we've talked to today?
Most definitely. I got a letter to prove it.
Oh, awesome. All right. How many tickets?
I got 17 in 1 year, got suspended for 2, never got pulled over in that 2 years, and then got my license back, and then since then I've gotten 3 tickets. So the letter said, you're the worst driver in California. If you get another ticket, you lose your license.
The DMV actually wrote you a letter saying you're the worst driver.
Yes.
Awesome.
I can if you want.
I would frame that and put it on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Now, and, Cooper, I just got 2 tickets.
Cooper, you said your license was suspended, but you still drove for 2 years with a suspended license and never got a ticket?
Never.
Yeah, because it was safe. You know, you're
Well, that's my question. Why then, when you got your license back, didn't you continue driving the way you were driving on the suspended license, and then you wouldn't have all these new tickets to worry about?
Well, that would be just genius, wouldn't it?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to the host of a program called Expedition Wild Project Kodiak in just a few minutes. But first, Bean has an update on the Blue Jay of Hate. Who knew?
He's on my porch. It's just crazy. I haven't seen him. It's been months since I've seen the Blue Jay of Hate. But he just showed up, and I don't know what I did, but he looks pissed.
The Blue Jay of Hate just sits there and glares at him, and then every once in a while he'll call his friends, and they all attack. I don't know what's going on.
I swear to God, he hasn't pecked me, but he has flown through my hair when I've stepped out of the yard before. That's how close. He's flown through my hair.
He's just letting you know, I could take you out if I wanted.
Yeah.
I know. So that is my concern. And now I've got to start thinking about if I said anything bad about him or what could he possibly be ticked off. And I really have to be concerned when I step outside the front door after the show.
Yeah. That's why the guy we're about to talk to is 100 times the man you are.
Well,
because you have a Blue Jay.
I know.
You have a blue. He has a 900-pound bear.
He wins.
I am fascinated by these stories of people who try to domesticate wild animals, and it's not like it's not something we don't all want to do. Look, everybody has seen a bear cub and gone, "Oh my God, that's so awesome! I would love to spend time with that." And you can to a point, but at another point, you go, "Okay, now he can kill me. It's no longer a pet, right?"
Right.
That's what most of us do.
You haven't seen this yet. They gave me a screener bean. This guy has raised him since he was a cub. And is now trying to make him wild.
It's the reverse.
He's trying to teach him how to go back into the wild and fend for himself and all that kind of stuff. And that usually doesn't work either.
Well, I get all that, but there's still, I mean, he's still a wild animal, even if he's raised from birth and you believe you've got this unshakable connection. There still can come a point where the grizzly bear says, "Hey, it just occurred to me, I'm a bear and you're a human," right?
Yeah, it happens.
Here's the beginning of the show.
There are few things in life better than a fishing trip with a close friend. My best friend is Brutus, a 900-pound grizzly bear.
All right, good times. That's how it starts.
I want to see this show. It is Expedition Wild Project Kodiak, and it debuts tonight at 9 on a brand new cable channel called Nat Geo Wild, a channel that's only been on the air for about a week or so, but this is exactly the show to put him on the map. Casey Anderson joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Casey, thanks for calling in, man.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Brutus is awesome. I want a bear, too.
No, you don't.
Now, you work at some kind of a rescue place, right, for bears?
I do. I there's a rescue sanctuary called Montana Grizzly Encounter, where we rescue bears that can't be put back in the wild, come from horrible captive situations, and that are all going to be euthanized. So we give them a second chance and give them an opportunity to be ambassadors to their wild cousins.
I'm sorry to have to ask this question, because I know you get asked it every single time. But, you know, that other dude got eaten by a bear.
He did, yeah. No, rules you got to play by, or you do get eaten by a bear. And the number one rule is remembering that grizzly bears are grizzly bears.
Right.
At any time that they can, they do have the capability to kill you. So to understand them and to respect them, and they're definitely projecting body language all the time that will give you a good indication if something's going to happen.
And a bear that big could kill you without even putting out any effort. Zero.
Yeah, that's
definitely
true.
It wouldn't tire him out or anything. It wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. It wouldn't be a fight. No one would be betting on you, Casey, is what we're saying. All right. So you say you have to be aware of the body language, and obviously you know this animal as well as you know your own wife, because you've spent so much time with them for 7 years. But there must be times where you have to let your guard down, or you don't think about it, or you're not paying that close attention. I mean, I see some of these – I haven't seen the show yet, but I see some of these pictures of him standing around with you or going fishing with you, and – clearly, you can't be keeping an eye and being prepared to run or stun gun or whatever your plan is at all times.
You can be. 90% of the time, Brutus is just being a grizzly bear at the sanctuary, wrestling with other bears, playing, digging holes, knocking over trees. And this other 10% of the time is out of his choice to have this companionship with the person that raised him. So if it's long as it's on his terms, and I'm, like I said, paying attention, doing things that are fun, he's not hungry, he's not in need, he's not in a dangerous situation, and, and constantly watching his body language when I'm around him. Yeah, I mean, there's risk in anything you do, and sure, this may be a little riskier than walking the dog in the park, but if
depends on the dog.
If you're an expert and you pay attention and to that body language, they're not as unpredictable as a lot of people would think.
I had a screener. I watched tonight's episode. Tell us what you can about that meal and how many times that bear eats that meal.
Well, that meal's pretty close to a normal meal. You know, he does eat 40 pounds of food a day, and most of it is fruits and vegetables and a little bit of meat like chicken. Once in a while, wait.
But he says cake. Chicken like it's a leg. It's the whole chicken.
Yeah, the whole chicken.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's ridiculous the amount of stuff this thing eats.
I mean, in that meal, he did eat a big cake and some pancakes, and that's more of a treat. He does have a sweet tooth, just like a person, and enjoys his treats once in a while, but I got to keep him in good shape so we don't give him too much.
Yeah.
Casey Anderson is on the line. He is the subject of, I won't say star because I think Brutus is probably the draw, of Expedition Wild Project Kodiak, which debuts tonight on the Nat Geo Wild channel. Every time there's a story in the news about a wild animal and people say, hey, we need to put that animal back in the wild to be with his people, the SeaWorld whale is the one that comes to mind. People always say it's really hard for animals that are domesticated to go back and live wild because they don't think like that. Is that going to be the case with Brutus too? Is it going to be tough sledding for him?
Absolutely. I mean, especially with bears, they're so intelligent. And, you know, in Project Kodiak, you will see that it's like fishing and swimming. They're things that we think maybe are instinctual for a bear, but they are actually things that are taught from one generation to the next. And without Brutus ever having the opportunity to be raised by a wild mother who knows where all the food sources are and what time of year to go where, there's no way he would survive.
One of the funniest things that I've ever seen was him trying to teach this bear to fish. And he sets up his own little waterfall to kind of show, you know, when the salmon jump upstream and then they catch him. And this is the audio from that.
You ready, buddy, for the real thing? Got you a big trout. Time to catch fish like they do in Alaska.
He throws the fish up and the bear doesn't move and it doesn't acknowledge the fish and the fish just bounces off his forehead. And that was it. I mean, that was his whole thing. It was like, he's not catching on real quick.
No, you know, and then
is he retarded?
One of the biggest hurdles, you know, is the fact that out there in the wild, these bears have to, every second of every day, they're looking for their next meal. I mean, that's what their life involves. Brutus is spoiled.
Right.
And his fishing tactic that he would prefer is just on a platter served with like a dill garnish. That's the way he would like to eat salmon.
Dill garnish? He told you that?
You know, it's just that the working for food is not a big part of Brutus's life. And so that was actually the hardest part to overcome with trying to teach him how to fish.
Does Brutus come in the house and sit on the couch and watch TV with you guys?
He does not. I mean, I have had him in the house, but it doesn't take too long to realize that a grizzly bear in the house is not a good idea.
By the way, you're married, and the photo of you and your new bride and the bear at the wedding
is the best wedding picture I've ever seen.
That must have, I mean, were there people there? Or was that a separate ceremony?
Well, he was more of my honorary best man, but we did afterwards pose for the photos.
When everybody ran first?
Yeah, when everybody was doing other things.
Yeah.
All right, Casey, you've probably already shot a season or close to it before it debuts tonight on Nat Geo, right?
Yes, yeah, and we have several other shows coming out in this Expedition Wild series, and this new Nat Geo Wild channel is just really incredible.
That sounds awesome. My question was going to be, if it's not giving too much away, are you able to get Brutus back out into the wild, or is that something we have to keep watching to find out?
So far, that's not the case, but, you know, we're going to keep trying to do cool new things like that.
And
we'll see what happens.
And the follow-up to that is, are you going to live?
I am, yes. Okay, well, many good. More interviews to come, good. I promise.
I mean, I don't want to get into it if you're going to end up not being the host. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Be too much of a bummer. Right. Casey, you are, for those of us, and many of us on the show, are extreme animal lovers. We're super jealous of the experiences you're able to have with your job out there in Montana. And Brutus looks awesome, too. I can't wait to check out the show, and I'm looking forward to it tonight at 9 on the Nat Geo Wild channel. By the way, you can go to Nat Geo Wild on the web and find out where the channel is in your city. Thanks so much for joining us, Casey. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye now. Come on with that song.
That's good. That's a good song.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 7:54.
That is the latest from Cypress Hill, title track from the new album. It is called Rise Up. It comes out on 420, which is just a crazy coincidence.
What?
I mean, because that band, with their reputation, what are the chances of all the dates that could come out? It would come out on April 20th.
And Tom Earl was on that one and plays on another one on this album as well.
So. He does. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to Matt Money Smith coming up next about previews. Nope, not yet.
That was just a joke
not
because
yet.
The last hour I did that.
Preview of the NCAA title game tonight and also Donovan McNabb to the Redskins. We'll ask him about that, too. That was a surprise to me anyway yesterday. Ralph is not in this week, and it is very difficult for us, frankly, as close friends of Ralph, to even be here and try to be funny, because the worst thing in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show family happened over the weekend. And I'm just going to read Ralph's statement, and we'll let it go without further comment right now. But this is a request that he made for us to read to you, the Kevin and Bean listeners. My wife and I want to thank you so much for the avalanche of emails we got when I made the announcement about our twins last week. Your messages were filled with so much love and support, and were so appreciated. Sadly, our little son Lincoln was stricken with a horrible sudden illness on Saturday and passed away Sunday morning. I've asked Kevin and Bean to pass this news on to you because so many of you were so generous with your concern and kindness regarding our new family. We'll try to honor Lincoln by giving his little sister Olivia all the love we can. I'll be back as soon as I am able. All my thanks to you all, Ralph. Obviously, devastating news when we heard it over the weekend. And if you'd like to drop Ralph a line, I'm sure he'd appreciate hearing from you with your thoughts and prayers as well. And, of course, they go out to from all of us to Ralph and Carrie and little Olivia. It's going to be the most difficult time of their life. And we just hope that they're able to find some strength and come back and be okay. So that's the bad news. But the show must go on, as they say in Hollywood. And that's why we're going to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. We had a caller first thing this morning who said he was so excited about Clash of the Titans and couldn't believe how much it blew.
Oh, I was so excited about it, too, and I didn't have time to see it this weekend.
And now you're glad?
No, but now I was looking forward, and now I'm kind of bummed.
Are you going to go still?
Probably.
Yeah, that guy might have standards, though, Kevin. It doesn't mean you won't enjoy it just because he did. Big box office, though, $61.4 million. This is Sam Worthington, by the way. I know that not very many people went to Avatar or Clash of the Titans because he was in it, but he's got a little bit of a box office streak going on here, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married 2 debuted at number 2 this weekend with $30.2 million. That guy is just a cash machine. He makes low-budget movies that are wildly popular. He gets a guaranteed huge box office every time he puts another one in theaters. How to Train Your Dragon, $29.2 million in its second weekend. That's another of the 3D movies. People seem to love that one. The Last Song, Miley Cyrus, debuted at number 4 with $16.2. Alice in Wonderland down to 5, then Hot Tub Time Machine at 6, The Bounty Hunter at 7. Diary of a Wimpy Kid at 8. She's Out of My League, number 9. And Shutter Island hanging on inside the top 10. Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio made another $1.5 million.
All right, let's talk about Robert Pattinson. Rob Pattinson. He is he's a movie star, and it's really difficult for him.
Poor guy.
It's really hard.
He's in these hip movies, and he's got all this money, and women love him. Yeah. I don't know how he handles it.
It's an impossible life for him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's back complaining again. This time, he can't leave. He has to live in a hotel. I don't know why. He can't live in a house.
Because he can't go to a furniture store. He'd be mobbed. So,
right, but doesn't he have people?
Furnish a house.
I mean, you could have a house and put up gates.
Right.
And
then, seems like a good idea, really.
It does, yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand why he has to stay in a hotel. But he does. And he can never go out. And he's bummed out about it. And he said this. He said the following. My only close friend is my acoustic guitar.
Oh, wow. That is sad.
Doesn't he know that emo was popular like 5 years ago?
There is not enough FU in the world, as Psycho Mike says, for Rob Pattinson.
That is awesome. Hey, here's the slightest man of all time, Ricky Rackman. Do you remember him? He was a host on MTV. He used to work here, as a matter of fact. Yeah, sure. He was a host on MTV, had the metal show. He's a little bit of a girly man. He did one of those celebrity boxing matches in Las Vegas over the weekend. He got his ass kicked. He was knocked down 3 times in a fight that lasted only a minute and 40 seconds before it was broken up. He lost to Benji Madden from Good Charlotte.
No.com. Nope.
How much of a baby man are you if Benji Madden can kick your ass?
Wow.
That is, and by the way, you're right. That's not, I lost. It gave it a good shot.
Right.
That's an ass whooping.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. The fight had to be stopped, guys, after a minute and 40 seconds, after Ricky had been knocked down 3 times. And he admitted it. He, after the fight, said, Benji Madden just kicked my ass. I just got wasted by the guy in Good Charlotte. So that's, that's got to be a low point in any human's life, right?
He'll never live that down.
No.
Never.
He'll never live that down, nor should he.
Tiger Woods, of course, as you know, is going to the Masters Tournament.
Mm-hmm.
The UK's Daily Mail reports that he is bringing along 90 personal bodyguards.
No.
90.
No.
To avoid the awkward run-ins with former mistresses or fans that are obnoxious or whatever.
So are they going to clear a 1 mile
I don't know.
Path for him?
Helicopters
wherever he goes?
Everywhere. I don't know. 90 personal security guards. There's a guy that does not want to be talked to.
No kidding.
It's unbelievable.
They have super tight security in Augusta at the Masters. That's the place on Earth where he is least likely to be hassled. Because as we found out from one of our Kevin and Me listeners who lives in Augusta, listens to us online, you get thrown out of that club for life if you cause a disturbance and right. They know it's you. So who's going to risk that as a golf fan,
so
right?
90 personal bodyguards, some of them ex-FBI and some of them ex-Secret Service.
Wow.
Does he think people are going to try and take him out?
I don't know. I think he just wants to golf. Well, he doesn't see that happening.
Today is the first time that he is going to face unfiltered questioning, by the way. And that is going to be at a press conference this afternoon in Augusta. And my guess is he's going to try to keep it to golf, but it's going to be interesting to see what the media ask him. So, two more real quick movie notes before we wrap it up and make way for Matt Money Smith talking sports here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that this sequel need to be made, but there will be a Triple X 3D coming out sometime late next year.
Who's
Vin
in
Diesel
it?
And Vin Diesel and Samuel L. Jackson are back. Triple X. I liked the first one, by the way. Sure. I thought the first one was pretty good.
The first one was good.
Yeah.
Yes.
But then I don't know how many more of these we need. Also, actor Cal Penn has confirmed the rumors. He is either Harold or Kumar. I can never remember which one he is. But remember, he's Kumar.
Yeah.
We had him on the show, remember, when he was leaving show business, essentially, to go work for President Obama. Remember,
yes.
he was moving to Washington. He had some sort of job there. And he said, look, I love acting, but I also love public service. And I'm inspired by this campaign. I want to go to Washington and work. He's been there a year, maybe,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, at the most.
I don't know whether he is going to be leaving temporarily to just make the movie and then go back to his job or what, but there is going to be a fourth Harold and Kumar movie, which is great because that's what we said to him. We said, look, we understand you got to follow your passion
right.
here, but what about us?
Don't right? leave us hanging.
Don't leave us hanging with right. Harold and Kumar because there are a lot of unanswered questions after the last film, so apparently sure. they are going to make a new one. All right, today's celebrity birthdays. How about this? How about Pharrell Williams? There's a dude who's got it going on. He is 37 years old today. What?
He's amazing.
He's amazing. He's an unbelievably talented dude, yeah. right? Mike McCready from Pearl Jam is 44. Christopher Reed, he's Kid of
yeah!
Kid and Play. 46 today. Mitch Pileggi, the bald guy who played the assistant FBI chief on The X-Files. Tremendous actor. He celebrates his birthday today. And Dean Kamen, you don't know the name, nor should you. At one time, by the way, his invention, was going to change the world. We would never be the same once the Segway was introduced.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way, but at least it gave Paul Blart something to ride around on in the Mall Cop movie. He is 59.
We wouldn't
today.
Have Paul Blart if it were not for that dude.
Damn that
so
dude.
So God bless Dean Kamen. That is the show business. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Tonight is going to be a lot of fun. God, I hope Duke loses. How great would it be to see Duke lose?
See Butler win? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Matt Money Smith, of course, nationally syndicated Fox Sports Radio program, joins us. Former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Money, how are you?
What's happening, guys?
I'm right if you root for Duke and you didn't go to Duke. You're a tool, right? At this point, how can you not root for the underdog?
Yeah, I don't assume anybody's rooting for Duke, even if you went there.
If you went there?
I mean, you have to understand kind of what's at stake. You know, they have tried so desperately to paint one of these teams that's won a national championship in college basketball as a Cinderella. You know, Villanova... Going back to the mid-80s there is kind of the one that a lot of people point to because they were an 8 seed, but they were a really good team
right
back then. Now, I'm not saying Butler's not. You know, Butler was in the top 10 at one point, but they do play in a tiny little league.
Where are they from?
Horizon.
What?
Yeah, exactly. The Horizon League.
The Horizon League? I've never even heard of that.
Their number one rival is Valparaiso. I mean, that's how small that conference is.
Where are they from?
They're from Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
6 miles away, you know. The idea is, I mean, just imagine, you know, if in fact they win that title and hold up that plaque, you know, the idea is they would just march to campus 6 miles.
Yeah.
You know, with hundreds of thousands in the procession.
It would march to Washington is what they would do. It would just take over.
Yeah, you're damn
they
right.
have won 25... 25 games in a row, and they are certainly the surprise and the story of this NCAA tournament. And Duke, I mean, obviously has a tremendously storied tradition and program there. They've won 3 national titles before. Is this accurate, what I heard yesterday? When the coach for Butler was born, I guess he's 33 years old, when he was born, Coach K was already coaching college basketball.
That is correct, yes.
Unbelievable.
Wow. He's in his mid-60s. I think the first time Duke won, when he won his first national championship with Duke, Brad Stevens, the head coach for Butler, was 14 years old.
And this is a funny thing too about Stevens. You know, he played basketball in college, but he got into the world of finance, and he was very successful. And I think he was making mid six figures. Wow. And just said, you know, as much money as I'm making, I just don't love it. I want to go back to coaching. And you know, now he's going to make mid-seven figures.
Is it going to be a good game?
All along the way for Butler. I mean, Butler was picked, you know, every year when you build your brackets, they say there's that 1-12-5 upset.
Right.
Butler's a 5. You know, everyone circled UTEP beating Butler as the 12-5 upset. So you go from that to taking out number one Syracuse, which they never thought was going to happen. You know, they said that basically the players from the Orange were mocking them, taking half-court shots and screwing around in the pregame. And they beat Syracuse, and then a lot of people thought Kansas State was going to end up winning the national championship because Syracuse got bounced and Kansas had already been bounced in the bracket above, and they took out Kansas State. You know, I kind of likened it just for the as obscure as I could get in a tweet, it just the first thing that popped into my mind, to the mid-90s when the New Jersey Devils were winning Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
People were like, how the hell are they doing this? And it's because they had defense, that neutral zone trap with Scott Stevens, and that's what Butler has. They play tremendous defense. I mean, relentless defense. And, you know, if they can hound you, look, they beat Michigan State and shot 30%.
Wow.
So if they can do that, then they can beat anyone.
Can they stop Duke? I mean, do they have a strong enough defense to stop Duke?
It's going to have to be because they don't have the offense to hang with them.
Right.
You know, so it's going to have to be another one of those, geez, my eyes are bleeding, this is brutal to watch kind of game, you know, if they're going to win. But they do have a pretty kick-ass whitey named Gordon Hayward, who's pretty fun to watch. I mean, he can shoot from the outside. He's got a wild kind of rainbow shot, and he can attack. He can kind of do it all. So if he's kind of like that one guy that can put together like a 35-point game,
right,
then maybe they can. But, I mean, on paper, it doesn't look good. But on paper, they should have lost to Syracuse by 20 points.
Right. Now, Money, I know that I'm mostly alone on this. I understand before I even ask the question. It's heresy, what I'm about to say. I am so, and I love a sports montage more than most. After the championship game tonight, they're going to do a sports montage. They're going to do a Final Four recap montage.
Yes.
And they are going to use the gayest song that has ever been recorded, which they've done now for 75 years in a row. The ball is there, you are. One shining moment. You're running for your
life. You're shooting. How are you going to hate on Luther? Come on.
Because Luther sings the wave music.
Yeah,
that's
but he's dead.
Light rock.
Let him have this. Let him live on. He's not dead.
He's not singing it tonight. Jennifer Hudson is. But they're still using this stupid song. The ball is touched, and then you dribble. Come on. How about something with a little oomph, a little testosterone? You're with me, Money.
Well, you know, I just go with the Wall Street Journal on this one, and they say that One Shining Moment is probably the most famous song in all of sports.
Oh!
it is funny, though, that if somebody tried to get that song on Glee, they would say, nope, too gay.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't sing it.
And if they said, this year they said, hey, let's use this for the Final Four, everyone would say no. Now, I'm guessing it's a part of money.
This is the great thing, though. So, CBS, right? CBS signs an 11-year, $6 billion contract, okay, to show the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Again, $6 billion.
Right.
Wow.
How much money could it cost to license a freaking song?
That's what I'm saying. And aren't there 1,000 songs that would be better?
Yeah. I mean, the idea and look, I have no problem with One Shining Moment, as goofy as it is.
Oh, I hate it.
It becomes synonymous.
Oh, my God, I hate it.
But, you know, the idea that that's why they decided to do it, because they didn't want to pay licensing.
Right.
It's like, you paid $6 billion in licensing fees to show the damn tournament.
And I'm not exaggerating. How many years have they used this in a row? Over 20?
It's probably been about since the late 80s.
Yeah. One more note, Money, on college basketball. Then I have something else I need to ask you about real fast.
The ball is...
All right.
The ball is tipped, Bean. And you know what they show in the montage when that happens? A ball being tipped. That's how good it is.
Money, is it true that the students playing for the national championship of college basketball tonight for Butler have to go to class today?
Yes.
What?
That is the idea, and I think kind of what Brad Stevens, their head coach, is thinking is it may just kind of have some sense of normalcy for them, you know, that the biggest game of their lives, the biggest game, you know, that this is a full-on Milan High kind of moment, you know, the school that won in the mid-50s in Indiana.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means.
The field house where Butler plays, Hinkle Fieldhouse,
yes,
is where that game took place.
He's talking about the Hoosiers game. He's talking about that team.
From the movie Hoosiers. Okay.
Exactly. The game that the movie Hoosiers is based on took place in the arena where they play their home game.
Wow.
And they are, you know, they're the team. They're it. They represent, you know, all the Siennas and UTEPs and George Masons.
I'm guessing that they are really going to be paying a lot of attention in class. That's my guess.
Well, you know, I guess kind of what he was saying is you go to class and everyone just pats you on the back and gives you a standing O, and it just kind of continues to build your confidence.
I hope they weren't watching what Duke did to West Virginia on Saturday. I hope they skipped that, because that would not build my confidence to play that team. I'll tell you that.
They are really good. I mean, the one thing about Duke is they can do it all. I mean, I know that's just such a cliche, but they have a giant, you know, bearded dude that's 7'1" that can just clean up missed shots and give you second chances. They have Cher and
Schindler. Cher plays with them?
Yeah, exactly. How about that? Wow. Sure, guy's great. But yeah, John Shire is, I mean, he's great. And he's probably the best player left in the tournament. And, well, there's only two teams. There's not a lot of players to choose from. But he was the best player left in the tournament for a little while now, because he can really shoot lights out. You know, when you're Butler and you play that style of defense, it's a zone D. And if you can hit the outside shot, then that pretty much way to go with your zone. See you later.
Yeah, true.
I just hope it's a good game. That'll be tonight on CBS. Don't miss it. One more PS for you, Matt Money Smith. I think this is our eighth year in a row where we have come to the start of the baseball season. Are we going to have our traditional bet? Who has a better record and who goes further in the playoffs, my Seattle Mariners or your Anaheim Angels?
Well, I'll tell you, Bean, you know, it's been 8 years, and it's really been a great 8 years for me.
Why would money, who won all eight bets, want to knock that?
You got 8-0. It would be pretty great, though, the first year that a few people are picking the Mariners to win the division, for me to say, you know, I'm done with it.
That's a BS move. You have to bet them now.
Yeah, of course I do.
All right, good.
Look, my team was out of it by Memorial Day last year, so it was just misery sitting around waiting to have to mail you that $100, allegedly that 100 credits. So
yeah, exactly.
I hope it's a great season, and I hope that I finally win one this time. But I just want to confirm on the air so the Kevin and Bean listeners know that it's happening. You are in, right?
I am in, and I do want to point out just quickly one last baseball note today. The Los Angeles Dodgers opened their season against the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team whose team salary, this is the great thing about baseball, kids, is $34.5 million, okay?
Their whole team.
Last year, Alex Rodriguez made $33 million.
Yeah!
Good time. Matt Money Smith, join him along with his friend Petros starting at 3 o'clock West Coast time and all across this great country on Fox Sports Radio. Thanks for coming on, Money. We enjoyed it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in a few minutes to talk about all the celebrity nonsense over the weekend, including Dr. Conrad Murray, his new defense to get out of being convicted of killing Michael Jackson. All right, we don't have much time here, and I know that people go to the TV in the event of a natural disaster, and that's what the TV is there for. The TV is there to help us out with information. And I understand that there's a lot of confusion. Like yesterday, there was an earthquake in Mexicali, a couple of hundred miles, I guess, from the California-Mexico border. And it was widely felt through Southern California and Arizona. And I get right when the earthquake happens, you're in a, hey, we've got to gather some information mode. How serious is this? We haven't heard it from a lot of people yet. We don't know if there's any damage. God forbid somebody gets hurt. I understand the scramble that goes on in the event of an earthquake.
And by the way, both of us have been in a lot of different cities where you watch this kind of coverage. You know, New York or Phoenix or wherever it happens to be, you know.
Yeah.
Louisiana, whatever. Los Angeles is unique in that it is worse than all.
Really? Absolutely. Are we?
Yes.
Yes. It's the worst news coverage in the world when it comes to disasters. Because, look, I just gave them an out. If the earthquake has just happened within the last hour and you're gathering information, I get it. But the kind of reporting that was going on all day and into the night last night, where they're trying to make it into a story for Southern California when clearly nobody got hurt and there was no damage in California, right? But the news organizations, like this report I have from KABC Channel 7 in Los Angeles, many hours after the quake, is still trying to whip people into a needless frenzy with how lucky you all are to be alive. Check this out.
We're going to go now to Melissa McBride, who's live in Pacific Palisades with what's been going on there and reaction from residents there. Melissa.
What possible reaction can you get from somebody in Pacific Palisades about an earthquake that happened hours ago, hundreds of miles away in Mexico?
And why there?
I don't know why there. That's a bizarre choice.
Right? Is that where she was anyway?
I don't know.
John, we pulled over and we stopped here at a gas station. There's also a grocery store over here and a Taco Bell drive through.
Very good information, Melissa. Right. Keep going.
Tell us about all the other businesses on that street. That helps.
Because that's very important based on how you got the people to talk to.
And we tried talking to 25 different people, and 21 of them did not feel the earthquake.
Okay. Right there, Melissa, you call Channel 7 and you go, guys, there's no story here.
Right.
95% of the people I've talked to never felt the earthquake.
I just talked to 21 people who didn't feel it. So you're going to have to go somewhere else for your coverage. No, they use it.
No, and they kept her out there. This is a we won't even have time to play it all. This is a full 3-minute report of Melissa talking about these people who have no information at all on the earthquake, and that's the news. It's, by the way, take that 3 minutes, Channel 7, and give me a camera in Mexicali where there's gas mains ruptured, where the firefighters can't get water, where people's homes have collapsed. That's where the story is, right?
I want to see interviews with people like in Switzerland. Just, like, the furthest away, the better.
They may as well.
Right, exactly.
Some of them had no idea that one had even occurred in Mexico earlier today.
Oh, well, let's get them on the news. Let's talk to them. Oh, really? There's an earthquake? Tell me about it.
Now, there were 4 people that we talked to, and they did feel it, and 3 of them shared their observations with us.
All right, let's hear some of that.
We were actually watching the latest episode of Bones, and if you're familiar with it, in the beginning of the episode, there's an earthquake.
Okay. Now, do we need this guy's story about I was watching a show with an earthquake and then there was an earthquake? Do we need this on the news? Is this really part of the coverage?
Only if they're laughing at the word bones. Other than that, I'm out.
And I kid you not, as the earthquake was happening on TV, our apartment started to shake.
Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Wow. Odds, you guys.
What are the chances?
That's so crazy. Thank you, Channel 7. We're wrapping up your Peabody for you right now.
And we thought we had lost our minds.
I love that they just let that guy just talk as long as he wanted to tell his anecdotal story.
Because no one else felt it.
He could have gone on for an hour. They would have covered it every second.
The blinds in the apartment were swinging. We have a swimming pool outside in the lobby area. So the water was sloshing out the pool, you know. So I guess it was like a little mini tsunami or whatever.
Yeah, it was practically a tsunami.
It was
right about that.
A tsunami in her swimming pool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've seen some of that coverage from Thailand, man. You're right. It was just like the tsunami there.
Now, if I'm a reporter, I can't help myself but going, you know, that's a swimming pool, right? No such thing as a tsunami.
And, you know, the neighbors started coming out. You can feel the vibration, you know, the walls and that kind of thing.
They didn't feel it upstairs, but downstairs I felt that rolling.
Okay, now we're
that's
getting
my favorite,
roll.
Too.
Look.
What'd it feel like? Rolled.
It rolled. It was like 20 seconds.
Hear my whole thing. Stop it, all right?
If there's a huge earthquake that affects a lot of people that you're broadcasting to, fine.
Yeah.
But if it's not, then stop it.
You know, if it's not, it's a mention as you go through the news. It's nobody on the street. And
exactly. There's no need to have a reporter in Pacific Palisades. Here's how this story is handled if I'm the anchor at Channel 7 yesterday. I go, some Southern California residents felt the earthquake, but it was hundreds of miles away in Mexicali, Mexico. Let's go there now for the story. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the extent of the coverage that needs to be dedicated to Southern California. Not minute after minute on channel after channel of interviewing people with their opinions on what happened.
They'll toss it to her, and then she'll toss it to somebody else, and then he'll be talking to a guy that was shopping, and he saw the bread wrapper move a little. I mean, that's the kind of coverage we get. We don't need that. Stop it. That's
we are point. Failed. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. By the way, we got passes for you in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes from right now. It's passes to see the Gorillaz, a secret Coachella dress rehearsal. So if you like Gorillaz, stick around. We'll give you a chance to win that coming up right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus another look at the Showbiz Beat right now. Speaking of Showbiz, Harvey Levin is not available today, but Dax Holt from the TMZ Newsroom on the phone with us right now. Hey, Dax, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Great to talk to you. I'm sure Harvey is very busy with all this unfolding Conrad Murray news. Why don't you bring our listeners who haven't been to the site yet this morning, what's the latest on his defense on how, I didn't kill Michael Jackson.
This is ridiculous. Basically, his defense strategy is going to be that Michael Jackson basically killed himself, and that Conrad Murray gave him propofol in the morning, but it was just a little bit, and then he walked out of the room to take a phone call. Michael Jackson woke up and decided he was ticked off that he couldn't sleep, so he grabbed the entire bottle of propofol and put it into his IV and injected himself
and died.
Let's say, for example, I mean, is that possible?
I mean, it's possible, and I think that's what they're going for, because if they get any of the jury members to go, oh, I guess that's maybe, then there's a doubt in their mind, which means Conrad Murray could walk away.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, yeah, I guess it's reasonable, and there's no other witness to say that's not what happened. It's not like, I mean,
but wait a minute,
right? I mean, it's gonna be his word against no one's, right?
Yeah, you're blaming the guy that's already passed away, so it works out.
Okay, but wait a minute. Let me ask two questions. One is, A, do you start with A or one? One is, you're not supposed to get propofol at home, ever. No.
Right.
Ever.
So right there, he's guilty.
So he's guilty of that.
Yeah. He'll be in huge trouble for that alone.
Okay.
But second of all, he's going, okay, well, I didn't kill him. It was Michael Jackson that killed himself.
Right, but question two is, if you're giving that strong of something at home, you leave the room and go make a phone call so even if Michael wants to do that, I mean, it seems like it's still all his fault.
They're going after that Michael Jackson was an addict and he would do anything.
That might be true.
But if I bring a giant bag of pills to somebody's house and then they take them all and die, I have responsibility.
I would certainly think
that's
so.
Kind of how I feel, too. Yeah. I mean, this is just his strategy. I don't know if it'll work or not, but that's looking like how they're going to go after it. And by the way, it's going to be absolutely nuts down at the courthouse today when he shows up.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh,
there's
yeah,
like
yeah.
500 fans showing up.
I'm sure.
Hit Michael Jackson's family members. So if you guys want publicity, I'd go down there. Send, like, David a thong or something.
I don't know David a thong. That's not the publicity we're looking for.
Psycho Mike, do you still have the whale suit for when you were out picketing that restaurant? Maybe we can send you back down there. There's no chance, Dax, that you'll be on the jury, so it'll be curious to see what the reaction is going to be. All right.
That would be so great. Can you imagine?
Wouldn't it?
It'd be unbelievable. Let me ask you about a couple of other things. We're talking to Dax Holt from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings. I was mentioning earlier that my understanding from the tabloids, and this is why I'm going to you to confirm or deny, all three parts in the Jesse James, Sandra Bullock bombshell triangle were in motion over the weekend. Is it true that moving vans pulled up and started taking furniture out of Sandra Bullock's house over the weekend?
That is true. We actually have a photo up on the website of the moving van out front of the Long Beach home. There's boxes being loaded up. I think a couch was loaded in. Obviously, I don't know if it's Sandra Bullock's stuff or not, but she hasn't gone down to that house ever since all the news broke. She's been staying up at her Hollywood Hills home. So, I mean, you can kind of maybe jump to that conclusion, but I can't say for sure.
Okay. Is it true that Jesse James checked himself out of rehab? He had only been there for a few days. One of the tabloids, maybe the Star, was reporting that he was just frustrated because he wasn't able to get in touch with Sandra Bullock on the phone, and he just checked himself out and left.
I have not heard that, and I have not seen him out anywhere. I'm going to think that he is still in there. This was a pretty serious situation. I mean, everyone that we've talked to that are close to him are saying it is very serious. He's in there because he needs to be in there.
Okay. And Michelle Bombshell McGee, did she return to stripping this weekend at the Platinum Club in San Diego?
She did, and they actually had her name up on the sign. They were promoting her coming in. We got some shots inside. They weren't that exciting, just her in the back room. But, yeah, she definitely did go back to stripping. I think the bigger story is that Melissa Smith, number two, she went to Cisco Burger on Friday.
Which is owned by Jesse James.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really? Wow, I didn't realize that.
It's a lot of audacity to show up at his burger joint.
No kidding.
Yeah. Eating his burgers.
Not
the first time she... never mind.
Right. One other question on a different story, and that is Tiger Woods going to Augusta with 90 personal security guards. Is that true?
Is that possible?
He definitely has a lot of security. 90, I think, 90. Is a little bit much.
Former FBI, former Secret Service. That's the report.
All the photos I saw of him this weekend, he did not have 90.
All right.
You know, he was picking up his daughter one day from daycare, and then he was down practicing. Definitely have not seen 90 people out around him.
No, but I'm saying when he goes to the Masters.
Right.
That seems unlikely.
No way.
There's no way there's that much room, I don't think.
You need like 5 people. I think he'd be fine with 5.
Are you guys going to be streaming the Tiger Woods press conference this afternoon at TMZ.com, Dex?
Oh, we'll be all over it.
Yeah, of course.
I know you will.
We got that. Then we got Jocelyn James, the porn star mistress. She's talking afterwards because of Gloria Allred.
Sure.
Anytime
she's involved, there's a camera.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to let you get back to it. TMZ.com, the entertainment news site of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. Dax, thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
later.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is out today. Just before we do the showbiz beat, we have a message from him. As you know, he came on the show last week to talk about his new twins that were born.
Uh-huh.
They were born almost 2 months premature.
Early, yeah.
To all the Kevin and Bean listeners, my wife and I want to thank you so much for the avalanche of emails we got when I made the announcement about our twins last week. Your messages were filled with so much love and support and were so appreciated. Sadly, our little son Lincoln was stricken with a horrible sudden illness on Saturday and passed away Sunday morning. How brutal is that?
I can't imagine.
The worst thing in the history of the world. I mean, I can't even get my head around it. I feel so badly for that whole family.
I've asked Kevin and Bean to pass this news on to you because so many of you were generous with your concern and kindness regarding our new family. We'll try to honor Lincoln by giving his little sister Olivia all the love we can. I'll be back as soon as I'm able. All my thanks to you, Ralph. So that's the announcement, which sucks to have to give, but...
He wanted us to share it with the listeners. He feels the bond with you that you feel with him. So if you have the time today and you'd like to drop a note for him and his wife, Carrie, I'm sure he'd appreciate that as well. And, of course, we wish him the best from the Kevin and Bean Show. It is awfully awkward to be even working today and laughing it up because none of us are feeling that good. I'll tell you that. But we're trying, and the show must go on. And let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat. In fact, we'll start by giving away something in the Showbiz Beat. You've seen the trailers for this movie, Kick-Ass. It looks like a kick-ass movie.
I can't wait.
It looks unbelievable. We've got a ticket for the premiere of Kick-Ass for Tuesday, April the 13th at the Arclight in Hollywood.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Not yet. Oh. Not yet. It doesn't open until 3 days later on Friday, April 16th. This is What If Teenagers Decided They Wanted to Be Superheroes, and it looks hilarious. Nicolas Cage is in the movie. Here's your trivia question at 1-800-520-1067. First person through who can tell us, Nicolas Cage, of course, was born Kim Coppola, but you don't go into show business with the name Coppola.
I would.
Because there's an awful lot of baggage associated with that. He wanted to be taken seriously on his own, so he changed his name from Kim Coppola to Nick Cage. What comic book character did Nick Cage get his name from? That's the question. 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call right now. And I guess we have four winners this time. So first four people correct through who have the answer win the tickets.
Jessica Simpson is not known for her amazing success in the game of love, but she's talking about having kids again.
Oh, really?
I'd just like to suggest maybe that's bad. Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Probably not.
I mean, really, maybe not. Maybe we should... Government should do something.
I
mean, can they do?
I don't think they can.
Can the government do anything?
What? There should be an IQ test before you're allowed to have children?
No, but...
Is that a rule you really want?
No, but I want, like, a group that votes, you know, a cross-section of people.
Is this person responsible enough?
And every once in a while you have to go, no, sorry, can't do that. I don't know how it would work, but...
Is she going to have a kid with Billy Corgan, or is she just talking about sometime down the...
saying at some point in the future, you know, I'm going to fall in love.
I'm sure she will.
Can you imagine how huge her boobs are going to be?
That's an excellent point.
That's a good point, yeah.
Let's not work too hard to not let that happen. Latest odds for Dancing with the Stars are in on Vodog.com. Of course, that show is on again tonight. It is a huge hit this year, by the way. I mean, they really got lightning in a bottle with some of these cast members. Tremendous ratings on this program. Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls is still the favorite. She's at 1-2-1 that she will win Dancing with the Stars. And why not? As we've discussed, she's got, you know, more experience doing choreography and dancing than anyone else on the show. So why not? Olympian Evan Lysicek comes in at number two. His odds are 7-4. Aaron Andrews at 7-1. I know, right? Rounding out the odds list, by the way, is Buzz Aldrin.
And I'm Buzz.
I'm amazed that he's able to walk onto the dance floor, much less dance. He is terrible, but there's a lot of goodwill for the Moon Man. He is at 150-1. But so there's your money.
But has someone already been kicked off other than him?
Yes.
Okay, there's your tribute. Now let's kick him off. Honestly, really.
In other words, we've done more than we have to by keeping him on this far. That's what you're saying?
Dude is 7,000 years old. Let's not act like he isn't. Just kick him off.
Yeah.
He outlasted one person. That's good.
And I'm Buzz.
Yeah. He is a little... The next time we see him on TV is going to be on a Chris Hansen special.
Oh.
And by the way, Miss Erin Andrews, who was famous to sports fans because of the work that she's done over the years on ESPN, but really kind of broke through in the national mainstream media with that report of that guy who ended up being convicted and going to jail, who had drilled holes in hotel room walls in order to watch her change. First of all, bad thing to do, don't do it. Second of all, if you're going to do it, Erin Andrews, good choice, right?
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying, good choice. I don't know if that incident has something to do with what's happening to Erin now, but she can't catch a break. She's on Dancing with the Stars, which seems like a pretty safe place. She's got death threats coming into her.
What?
She's got crazy guys writing in and saying, let's see how you dance with a hail of bullets coming at you. I mean, what is this poor woman? What's happening to her life,
What's she done?
No, you know what? That must be, I hate to say it, but normal for hot female celebrities.
That we don't hear about it as much?
I mean, otherwise, what sense does it make?
Wow. Maybe her in particular is because she is a super hot chick that's in a world of not a lot of hot chicks.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She's not in a girl, all-girl band or a model or something like that. She's in sports.
Right.
I don't know, but Dancing with the Stars producers are taking the threats very seriously. They have tightened security on the set of the show, but she will be there and she will be dancing tonight. So good luck.
I'd like to see them.
Don't rub out hot chicks. We put a premium on hot chicks. There's nothing bad should ever happen to them.
I'd like to see her dancing shot through a camera with a pinhole. I'd like to see that, though. I think that would be good.
I think that's a great idea.
Because that's, you know, we're used to that. I don't have the birthdays, Bean. I'm looking. I don't have them.
Then let's talk to Robert. How about that? Let's talk to Robert on line three. The question was, Nick Cage was born Kim Coppola. He changed his name to be named after what comic book character? Nick Cage, of course, is in the new film that you're going to win tickets to called Kick-Ass. Robert, what do you think?
Good morning, everyone.
Hi. Good morning.
Named after Luke Cage.
Luke Cage, that's right. Marvel Comics hero Luke Cage, also known as Power Man. You're right. Nick Cage is in this movie.
Power Man. Power Man.
You're going to go see it on Tuesday, ooh, April the 13th. It opens 3 days later. You'll see it at the ArcLight. Thanks, Robert. We appreciate you listening, man.
I'm not sure if he just said ooh-hoo or Google. I don't know what that
also
was.
Also, thanks to Alejandro, Daniel, and Brian. Oh, curiously, all guys that knew the answer to that trivia question. What's up with that?
Hmm.
Today's celebrity birthday is the great Pharrell Williams, awesome producer, and not a bad entertainer in his own right. He's 37 years old today. Mike McCready from the band Pearl Jam turns 44. Is he the one with the honked-up stomach, Mike? Is he the one that's got that real, real bad disease?
I don't know. I know
where he has to poop all the time.
I know he rips and shreds. That's all I know.
He is 44. Chris Reed, who was Kid of Kid and Play, is 46 years old today. Mitch Pileggi from The X-Files turns 57. And Dean Kamen, the guy who invented the Segway. There was a time when we thought that was going to change the way we lived every single day. Thank God for him. Without him, there'd be no Paul Blart Mall Cop. He is 59 today, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 15 minutes after 9 o'clock.
This was a tough sell in the office on Friday, but the band is called Gorillaz. Okay, so the contest, Kevin, is name that primate. All of the answers will be famous primates. Monkeys, gorillas, apes. You get it? Because the tie-in is the band.
I don't get it. The prize is the Gorillaz Secret Coachella Dress Rehearsal.
Ooh.
So that's pretty cool, right?
Yep.
But to do that, you have to name that primate.
Primates are what you need to know. Then you'll go to the gorilla show. Name that primate. Name that primate.
Can you name that famous primate?
All right, let's take the contestants in order, starting with Vicky on line one. She will go into the drawing to see a super secret Coachella rehearsal show with the band The Gorillaz. Hi, Vicky. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
All right, listen up. Name that primate to get in the drawing. Maybe the most famous primate ever. His story was told in multiple hit movies, from the first in 1933 to the most recent, starring Jack Black in 2005. Who is he?
King Kong.
See how easy that is? Nice. Congratulations. Hang on. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Fernando. Hi, Fernando.
Hey, what's going on?
Fernando, his girlfriend is named Trixie. His nemesis is Racer X. But can you name Speed Racer's pet chimpanzee?
I just bought the movie too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got bigger problems than worrying about going to the gorillas than if you bought the Speed Racer movie. All right, out of time. You got to give us a guess, Fernando.
Spend money on that?
I can't think of it.
No. He was a chimpanzee named Chim Chim. I'm sorry. Nice
Chim
try.
Chim.
Chim the chimpanzee. You think you could think of that?
Let's go to Giovanna. Giovanna? Yeah. Yes, what?
Giovanna.
Giovanna.
All right. Listen up. This lovable monkey has been the star of children's books since the 1940s, TV shows since the 80s, and Will Ferrell voiced his owner, the man in the yellow hat, in this 2006 movie. Who is he?
Curious George.
There you go. Well done. All right, hang on.
All right, let's go to Allison. Hi, Allison.
Hi, good morning.
Allison, name the slow-talking evil monkey who lives in Townsville. He tries, but is never able to foil the superhero Powerpuff Girls. But he still never gives up. Who is he?
Oh, man. Can't think of his name.
Welcome to my life.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo.
Mojo Jojo with the Powerpuff Girls.
Come on.
Nice try. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Gio.
I love your Metro.
Hey, what's up?
Put in the file. Seriously, put in the file, Mike. You're not even trying now. Gio, listen up. He was eventually banished from the Neverland Ranch after biting several guests, but for a while, this chimp was famous worldwide due to his crazy owner, Michael Jackson. Who was he?
He was,
everyone hates you right now.
Famous chimpanzee named?
It was,
everyone.
It was,
everyone in their cars.
It starts with a B.
Yes, it does. Everyone in their cars like, what a dumbass.
And what's his actual name, though?
Starts with a B is not good enough.
Yes! Who thought he was going to come up with Bubbles?
Not me.
Wow. Very impressive. All right. I think we have time for just one more.
All right. Let's go to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hi, Michael.
Did you think that last guy was going to get Bubbles?
I was hoping he was. If not, I would have come and go to the phone and kicked his ass.
Yeah, all right. That's what I thought.
All right, here's your question. Name that primate. That loser Ross on the TV show Friends adopted a capuchin monkey in a 1994 episode of the show, and he remained a character on Friends for several seasons. What was Ross's monkey's name?
Marcel.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
You knew that too quick.
So what do we got? We got Vicky, we got Giovanna, we got Gio, and we got Michael. We got four in the drawing. Who wins the tickets to see the Gorillaz Super Secret Dress Rehearsal?
Our winner is Michael.
Yay!
Michael, congratulations.
Woo!
You got a pair of passes to the Gorillaz Secret Coachella Dress Rehearsal. And thanks for playing the game.
Name that primate.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in. And thanks again to everybody who came to April Foolishness Sold Out Saturday night, raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for charity. And thanks to all the comedians for joining us too. We had a great time. This weekend was also big on Saturday because the iPad came out, finally available for purchase. Did you see the people on the news, Kevin, who have been lined up since Tuesday at some stores to buy it? Ridiculous, right? And Kevin and I have been talking about the iPad off the air for some time because we're both huge Apple fans, yet we haven't figured out the reason to go out and buy one yet.
Well, because we both have the MacBook Pro, which is...
Right.
Which is
way better than the iPad.
It's way better than the iPad. So you go, well, do I need it? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked producer Alex to line up somebody who's an expert in this field. He's a tech guy. He works on Yahoo.com, and he's in the Today in Tech section there. And his name is Chris Knoll. We had him on the phone earlier today, and we want to play this interview for you. We talked to him first thing this morning. We want to play this interview for two reasons. One is because it's fascinating what the iPod can and can't do.
iPad.
And if you're if you're like us, you're trying to get your head around what this new technology is all about. Secondly, we've never done an interview before where we had a harder time concentrating on the topic at hand because for some reason everything out of this dude's mouth was that's what she said, right?
Everything he said.
Yes, that's true.
We felt the need to say that's what she said. And he would do it like five times in a row, and Mike and I would look at each other like,
what are we supposed to do?
So we've edited it now so that we can replay it for you.
Okay.
You'll hear the talk about the iPad, you'll hear his opinion and everything's going on. But every time there's a ding, that's what she said moment.
Yeah, right. We're at the point now where we can no longer have actual adult conversation without thinking in our minds, that's what she said. So enjoy the interview as we brought Chris Knoll from Yahoo.com on the show today and talked about how the iPad is everywhere and it just seemed like it was mocking us.
I'm good, and actually my iPad is mocking you too right now.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, that hurts me so bad. Look, here's the discussion Kevin and I have been having off the air ever since the thing was announced. We have iPhones and we have the laptops. So why do we need an iPad? There's no reason I can think of that I need an iPad, but every time I see one, I go, must have. What's going on here?
Yeah, there is no reason you need an iPad, but you do say that. I've been obsessed with this thing since it was announced, and I, just like the iPhone, I said, I've got to get one of those. And now that I have it, I'm wondering, why did I get one of these?
Describe it for people who haven't seen it yet.
Well, basically, all the rumors are correct. It is an overgrown iPod Touch. In every sense. So it's got the metal aluminum back, the solid, completely flat glass screen with one button at the bottom.
How big is the screen?
It is 9.7 inches.
That's what she
said. And so that makes it about the size of a hardcover book. And
right,
it weighs a pound and a half, which sounds really light, but when you hold it for about 10 minutes, it starts to feel really heavy.
Wow, you need to start working out.
Well, you don't hold it up in front of your face. You have to lean it. You have to lay it down on something.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And that's kind of where the challenges of the iPad start to come into play. Like, you can hold your iPhone all day long. You just rest your elbow on the arm of the chair.
I'm going to say again, I reject you totally if you're telling me it's too heavy.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're holding it up to use it all the time, that would start to be a problem.
Just like with a laptop, Kevin. You wouldn't want to hold a laptop to use it.
Right, but a laptop is 5 or 6 pounds. This is one.
It's not too heavy to hold it. It's too heavy to hold it
for a long
time. For a long time.
I see. Okay.
And it's simply It's simply unwieldy. You know, you can't. Yeah. It's a big piece of metal that you can barely hold in one hand because it's very slick and slippery. And so you have to use two hands, and then that becomes an issue of like, how do you position yourself to do this? And you can really only get that by playing with it for a while.
Oh. Sure. this entire conversation is that's what she said. By the way,
what's happening,
Chris? Is the idea is the market for people who don't want to carry around something as heavy as a laptop and still have basic internet and email functions? Is that the market for this?
Well, you know, Apple's been very clever in not trying to market it for any specific purpose and letting the user decide what it's really for. I've been pretty excited by some of the apps that you can do on the iPad that you can't get on the iPhone. Like, you can watch a movie on Netflix on very large screen.
Right.
You know, the book reader here is fantastic. It puts the Kindle to shame. The magazines on it look great.
Right. I'm not. But that's really great, but I'm not going to buy an iPad so I can read a magazine.
No.
you know what I'm saying? Like, Bean and I both love Apple, and we're both early adopters of this kind of stuff. We love this kind of stuff. But I can't get my head around why I could possibly need it.
Because it pretty much duplicates everything you have among all your
gadgets,
right?
I have my iPod Touch, but if you have a MacBook Pro, it's way better. So you don't need this. But Jimmy had it, and all of a sudden I needed it. Here's one of the rumors, though, that I wanted to ask you about. One of the rumors was it can't multitask. You can't listen to a song and work on photos.
That's absolutely false. I mean, it's got the same multitasking that an iPhone has. I mean, you can do that on an iPhone. You can listen to music and check your email.
And I said that to Jimmy, my friend, on Saturday night. I said, yeah, but it can't play music. He's like, of course it can. What's wrong with you? And he started playing a song.
Who started that little rumor?
I don't know.
Because everyone's heard it.
Right.
Bill Gates. Bill Gates started
that
rumor.
That's what I'm
thinking. Yeah, good.
700,000 sold over the weekend, Chris. Is that what you heard?
The real numbers came in this morning from Apple. It's 300,000.
Is the screen high def?
Yeah, it's 1024 by whatever. So, yeah, it's high def.
Why will they not ever include a Blu-ray player in any of their products?
That's a great player. Of course, this doesn't have any kind of an optical disc. You have to get content through iTunes or somehow get it to the device yourself.
Oh, so you can't even play a DVD. There's not even room for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Steve Jobs doesn't like Blu-ray just the same way he doesn't like Flash. You know, he wants to be behind it.
If you're tuning in just now, we have Chris Knoll, who is the Yahoo News Tech Editor, and he's talking about the iPad. And how we all have to have it, and we don't know why. I don't know why.
I have to ask you this, Chris, because we're almost out of time, but thank you for being on with us. With so many technologies, Apple and other companies, you see the first go-round, you go, I want it, but what are they going to do next? Is there an iPad 2.0 6 months away that people ought to wait for maybe and see what they add?
Well, the big question right now is whether you should wait for the iPad with 3G in a month, because the Wi-Fi on the iPad is not very great. Parts of my house, I can barely get a signal at all, and I certainly can't do any streaming.
But in a month, they're going to come out with 3G?
Yeah, they're adding 3G to this. It's going to look and feel exactly the same.
Fantastic.
But, yeah, then you'll be able to actually use it outside of your house. And, of course, there's going to be an iPad 2, but it's probably a year away. That's the Apple, you know, agenda. You get 1 year to play with this, and just when you're about to get tired of it, they say, well, here's something new.
But this one is 100 inches. It's a 100-inch tablet.
That's right.
It's really hard to hold.
All right. Well, good stuff. So you're enjoying yours as we wrap up here, Chris. Is it something that you see yourself using or something that's still going to be kind of a novelty for you and you'll really stick to the iPod Touch and the laptop?
It's already becoming a bit of a novelty for me, and I'm seeing myself migrate back to my iPhone a little bit.
All right.
Yeah.
Look up on yahoo.com under Today in Tech, the working guy, Chris Knoll. You'll find him there, and we thank him for being on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We do have one final look at the showbiz beat here in just a minute. First, though, some very, very sad news that our friend Ralph Garman has asked us to pass along to the Kevin and Bean listeners. Here is the statement that Ralph asked us to read, and we are happy to accommodate. To all Kevin and Bean listeners, my wife and I want to thank you for the avalanche of emails we got when I made the announcement about our twins last week. Your messages were filled with so much love and support and were so appreciated. Sadly, our little son Lincoln was stricken with a horrible sudden illness on Saturday and passed away Sunday morning. I've asked Kevin and Bean to pass this news on to you because so many of you were so generous with your concern and kindness regarding our new family. We'll try to honor Lincoln by giving his little sister Olivia all the love we can. I'll be back as soon as I am able. All my thanks to you all, Ralph. Just a hit to the gut when we heard the news yesterday from Ralph, and we couldn't feel worse for him. It's very, honestly, very difficult for us to be here and working today, but we're doing the best we can with it. And if you've got the time and you can drop a note to Ralph at his email address, I'm sure he and his wife would enjoy hearing from you and knowing that you are thinking and praying for him. And we just wish him all the strength in the world. Hope they get through it okay, and he comes back to work soon.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. I don't know if you saw this story or not, but Lady Gaga and Elton John are going to team up for the next James Bond theme.
I had heard something about that. Now, they have a mutual admiration society going on, and of course, they did that show opener at the Grammys this year, and apparently they're just, I almost said they're gaga over each other. I didn't mean to make a pun there, but they love each other and love working together, so that would make sense, and not the first time that they've had a duet for a James Bond theme either, so there is some precedence.
Jack White and Alicia Keys, right? And then were there any others other than that?
That was the first one.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't love that, considering how much of a fan of Jack White and Alicia Keys I am. I didn't think it was great. But I'd be curious to hear. I mean, let's face it, Lady Gaga's on a winning streak with songs. Not that I like them all, but they're all pretty hooky, pretty catchy. I'd be curious to see what those two can come up with together for James Bond. So, sure, why not? Top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. We were very busy with our April foolishness. I didn't get a chance to see any of these, but Clash of the Titans came in at number one with over $60 million. $61.4 million for Clash of the Titans.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
It is, especially for a movie that has such terrible reviews.
Well, a lot of movies are review proof in the first week, and yeah, you know, true. That looks cool. I'm going to go. I don't care what people say. Right. However, when people start going that you know, and they know you, uh-huh. and then they start telling bad word of mouth, I think that hurts it a lot more.
Right, so we'll see how next week is. Yeah.
Number two, also review-proof, are the Tyler Perry franchise. His latest is called Why Did I Get Married 2, debuted at over $30 million to come in the number two spot at the box office. By the way, Janet Jackson, movie star? I mean,
no.
She's in this one, too.
Yeah, you know? I guess.
Fat.
Number three, How to Train Your Dragon, $29.2 million. Number four was the Miley Cyrus debut, The Last Song. I was a little bit surprised to not see that do better. You know, she's got quite the fan base over the years, but not enough. She only made it at number four this weekend. Number five was Alice in Wonderland, The Hot Tub Time Machine. Number six, by all accounts, that movie should be doing better than it's doing, too, by the
Hot
way.
Hot Tub Time Machine, awesome.
It is. You have to go.
Kevin, you said it's in your top 10 favorite movies of all time, right?
Well, that
didn't knock out Godfather 2?
Maybe not. My list changes a lot, but it certainly was made for me.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. So,
Diary of a Wimpy Kid, that's created for Psycho Mike. That was number eight. She's Out of My League was nine. And Martin Scorsese, Shutter Island, rounds out your top 10.
Dr. Conrad Murray.
Yeah.
Is maybe the best doctor ever. I think I love him because he's crazier than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's got a new legal strategy. According to TMZ.com, Michael Jackson's doctor will argue in court that Michael Jackson gave himself too much propofol.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
That it wasn't the doctor. The doctor gave him a little and was trying to wean him off. And then Michael woke up and found, like, a gallon bottle and just gave it to himself because that's what he wanted to do. That's his legal defense. That is what we're hearing. So.
Okay.
As Lisa pointed out, though, if you're a medical doctor and you've got a patient under your care, aren't you responsible for whatever access he has to medications that eventually end up killing him?
I believe you are.
First of all, you're responsible to have that medication in his home, which we have heard from every single doctor we know is unethical times 10. You don't do that ever, ever.
Your defense isn't, well, someone was going to bring it to him.
Right.
Right. And by the way, your defense. Look, if you didn't buy it from me, I was going to buy it from someone else. It doesn't work.
And I don't know how.
Propofol,
I don't know how it works to say he gave it to himself either. Who's watching him?
Yeah, that's your job.
But I bet, I mean, I don't know what the, I don't have the charges in front of me, but if there are degrees of culpability in a case where somebody dies.
Yeah, I guess.
Being tangentially related to the death rather than being personally
directly,
responsible,
yeah.
directly related to the death. I mean, I think that would make a huge difference on whatever happens to him if he's convicted. That's for sure. Look, what other defense can he come up with?
Yeah true.
I mean, it's kind of smart to blame the dead guy, right? Victoria Beckham back in the news, by the way. The British tabloid The London Sun reports that she is anxious to have another baby and that doctors have told her that she needs to gain weight if she hopes to get pregnant
really,
again.
Really? What a surprise.
Doesn't she need that? She is off of her normal diet, which is basically just vegetables, and now she's eating pasta and rice and potatoes and bread. Still won't eat junk food, which, you know, most women love to do that.
Right.
I gotta gain weight? Bring on the Twinkies. Right.
Bad women.
But she's kind of in the, you know, in the model world.
Yeah.
Right.
Where if you weigh more than 70, you're considered. And that, which is ridiculous. But.
Speaking of models, Heidi Klum back in the news, too. The Tatler magazine, whatever that is, says that she loves being naked. In fact, she has no problem disrobing even when she's visiting her mother and father.
All right.
She will walk around naked in her parents' house.
Wait, that's not all right.
I think this would be an interesting phone topic sometimes because there are lots of families. Thank God I'm not friends with any of them, but there are lots of families who have no hang-ups about familial nudity. And they don't think anything of people being in the house naked, no matter what their age or sex is.
Yeah, that's strange.
I mean, that seems odd to me, but there are a lot of people out there that I bet we wouldn't have any trouble getting on the phone who would say, yeah, it's totally normal. If my mom is naked hanging around the house, it doesn't matter. If my dad sees me, I'm a woman, my dad sees me naked, doesn't matter, because that's not how we think of it. It's not a sexual thing. It's just a comfort thing. We're comfortable with nudity.
Perfect world would be Modern Family with Sophie Vergara.
No kidding. Look, I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to gross anybody out here.
No.
I don't care if Heidi Klum is your daughter. That's still got to be, I mean, doesn't it have to be uncomfortable? To have Heidi Klum running around naked? How can you not?
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. How does her dad not go, yeah? You mean? Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying, Kevin.
And one more story for me, and that is that Rob Pattinson is having a really rough time with being famous. He's not handling it well. It's really tough for him. He's having a hard time.
Aw, I feel bad for him.
He has to live in a hotel. Why? I don't know. Seems like you could have a pretty big house with some pretty good land and pretty good security, pretty good gates.
You could afford all that.
Has to live in a hotel, and his only friend, and this is a quote, my only friend is my acoustic guitar.
Oh. Yay!
Oh, my God.
To which I say,
oh, my God.
F you.
That's the case.
Right?
That's awesome.
My only friend is my acoustic guitar. You're pathetic.
The one? I mean, I know it's a pain in the ass for him to go out because he's, you know, the little girls go crazy for him. But he's incredibly paranoid about being in public now, Lisa. Isn't that what we've heard about him? Like, he doesn't want to go places. It's just he can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, he can't handle all those.
Maybe that's why
fans.
He lives in a hotel, because he doesn't have to even go grocery shop or anything like that. He can just literally stay in the room and have room service.
He's got people. He can have people bring in. I don't know.
That's true. You could do it in a house, too.
How many people are more famous than him and have never complained about it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's not Tom Hanks, who manages to live a completely normal life.
It might be a pain in the ass for him, but he doesn't complain about it in public.
Right, exactly. Right. All right, I definitely will be keeping an eye on that story. I love that so much. Pharrell Williams has a birthday today. The outstanding producer, singer, is 37 years old today. Mike McCready from the Pearl Jam is 44 today. Chris Reed, he's Kid and Playtrud's 46 today. And Mitch Pileggi, the bald guy who played the assistant FBI chief on The X-Files, turns 57 today. Remember, we've had Mitch on the show many, many times over the years. Married Gillian Anderson's stand-in on the show. Woman who looks just like Agent Scully on the show.
That's right.
And still happily married. Good job on that. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Bean. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have some live music for you tomorrow. Very excited about this band. This is one of those bands that has been around forever, and they're not around enough for us. You know what I mean? Like most bands that have been around forever, you're tired of them. You don't want to hear.
Right.
Bad Religion. Always great.
Yeah.
Always great.
They really always. They're songs I'm not tired of. I don't know how they do that.
Interesting guys, always.
So they're going to come in the studio tomorrow. They're going to perform live, and we're very excited about that. Plus, we have, why does Lisa May's family hate her?
That's a really good question.
They hate her.
I had no idea.
And Internet Roundup tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Also, I have more tickets for you to win the Gorillaz and their pre-Coachella warm-up show. You can't buy these tickets anywhere, but we are going to have those for you tomorrow right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Brick by Boring Brick. That's the latest from Paramore. She'll also play some Butthole Surfers, the Stone Temple Pilots, Sublime, MGMT, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.